So, Magic the Gathering dual decks.
Yep.
Thoughts?
They're funsies.
Yeah. The new one. I like the new one a lot.
Did you play the new one?
I did play the new one.
Yeah, how was it?
Well, we only played one game, so I didn't really get a good...
Is that
good...
the Speed versus Cunning?
Yeah.
Yeah, how was it? And what did you play?
I played Speed.
And how did it go?
It went not great.
Did it play fast?
Should've gone
See,
with
yeah,
cunning.
The answer was to play fast.
Should have gone with Cunning.
Didn't have a choice. Didn't have a choice, but yes, I would have gone with Cunning if I had the choice. Because it was freaking Rikia Rumble. Like, it's his rules. No, Adam.
It's not my rules. Don't point at me.
I wasn't pointing at anyone.
I will say, of those dual decks, Angelic versus Demonic, Demonic sucks balls.
Yeah, we probably...
I kept drafting into it, and he kept making me play Demonic, and it sucked.
We probably should have just cut those from, like, the entire rotation.
They used to have this amazing thing before they started making dual decks. There was... Before dual decks, there was like 10 years of no for funsies decks. And by 10, I mean like 5. But before that...
So like half the time.
Before that, I mean... Before that, there were the greatest things ever printed, which were Worlds decks.
Yep.
They just like printed like the top 8 Worlds deck lists.
With special... They had like special print on them.
So they were proxies, effectively. So you could play them in tournaments. Because they had... really expensive cards in them.
Oh,
obviously.
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes
sense.
But
the decks were like $5. Mm-hmm. They were just like, we're going to print a bunch of unplayable cards that you can only use in these decks,
right.
But you can play the world's decks. And so, like, before dual decks, it was that.
Yeah. And
I don't know why they strayed away from it.
I don't know.
Like, I freaking loved it. I'm sure new players didn't really buy them that much because you can't actually use the cards.
Right.
But if you're playing casually, you can use the cards, which most players do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I, in particular, have never owned a Magic card in my entire life. I always play the people's decks. So these things are actually tempting me into buying into the game just for the dual decks.
Yeah.
Because they're all pre-built. They're all ready to go. I can just sit down and play, and I don't have to
like,
think about anything.
I have like 10 of them.
You know, Lance, me, Fox, and Crump all bought Commander decks.
What are those?
They're EDH.
Pre-constructed for the Commander format.
Okay, EDH, the 100 card decks.
Yeah,
the are there different format. Kinds?
You know,
yeah.
Lance,
how many
I
different
have...
kinds are there?
There are a bunch. Like, I mean, they came out last year and this year, so there are like a bunch to choose
okay.
from. I think 5. Maybe,
and they're all just pre-constructed, so they're ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
yep.
You know what else is sort of pre-constructed, but more fun because you get to construct it?
The draft.
Like cube.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic when I don't know how to play Magic and I draft like a moron. That sounds
it's
like awesome.
Pretty impossible to draft the cube. I mean, you can draft the cube like a moron, but you'll still end up with a good deck because the cube is all good cards. So you're just like, I'm going to play black, and then you just draft like every black spell that comes
out. I mean,
up,
if Lance
your deck is like still decent.
If Lance drafts like 5 color and doesn't get any fixing, his deck's probably not going to be
good. Well, it's his first time, so he should go black and then never go to a different color.
Except he shouldn't go black because I always draft black,
yeah,
and if he does that,
it kind of sucks.
It's good
like,
news.
What
so
sucks about
I know that ahead of time.
Is, like we each developed our own favorite like archetype to draft,
mm-hmm.
and so like Fox will be sitting to my left. I'm like, well, I'm just going to de-draft all the sweet black cards because I know he's going to be the black, and then I end up being black.
Mono black aggro.
You might say Fox likes big black decks.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Yeah! That's the moment.
That was a special pre-ramble.
Welcome to episode 28 of Muzan Minis Miami.
Bienvenido a Miami.
That was the longest setup for a joke ever. Are we seriously doing that?
Yeah,
I don't know where to cut that in. I don't even know where to start.
Just leave it. Like,
oh, my God.
They're going to
be like, why are we listening to
the
pre-ramble?
Obviously,
oh, my God.
It won't be obvious, so it'll just get them.
Okay, go ahead.
Surprise is the key to comedy, Lance.
It's fine.
Lance, you have to be ready for anything.
I am
Lance.
Ready. We launched into this podcast about 20 minutes earlier than I thought we were going to go for it.
Well, we say forget the ramble.
I mean,
yeah.
Do we want to just keep going?
Yeah, let's keep going.
Yeah.
We edit this part
so...
out. Let's talking about it.
No, this is fantastic stuff.
This
go
is,
ahead.
Yeah,
who are you?
Who are you?
This is Pure Gold. I am Crump.
Nick
and I play...
Crumpton.
Yeah.
Circle.
All right. Fox introduces me. Yeah, let's do that. All right, Fox, go.
You're Nick Crumpton, you play Circle.
Okay.
You're Lance Becker, and you play Daredevil.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
So he gets Colin, Colin gets Adam, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I also play Kator. So I got Colin?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
That's Colin, and he plays Signar now?
Yep.
Because he bailed out
Wait,
of Sworn like a wussy.
What's Colin's last name?
Pritchard.
that's Adam Crumption, and he doesn't play a real faction.
Ooh.
I hope this isn't anybody's first time listening to the podcast. They're going to know who
Fox,
anybody's voice is. That's fine.
He is the head of the Fox News.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we're just screwing over new listeners.
No, they could re-listen to it like
that's
six
true.
Times and figure out by working backwards to who is
yeah.
who.
That was Nick, by the way.
I'm coming.
Go ahead. What's our topics? Do we have topics today?
Yeah, we get to talk about the WTC.
Do we?
And that was us
yeah.
talking about the WTC.
Oh, okay, good.
And, yeah. No, we should actually talk about the WTC because
okay.
people have been wanting us to talk about it for forever.
Sure.
Yep, and I'm going to blame the WTC peeps for not releasing lists.
Can I do one thing
before we podcasted last week?
Is it look at the list?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I do need to do that, but I do have a news and announcement.
Mm-hmm.
Draxos on the forums, who is a PG in Colorado, wanted me to do a quick rundown of Feast of Blades because it had been done on the main cast. So I'm going to throw this on here now. Feast of Blades is a convention that's being held October 10th through the 12th in Denver, Colorado at the Denver Hyatt Regency Hotel. It's very fancy.
Is that the one you're going to?
Yes, it is. It is a War Machine Weekend qualifier as well. This year they are running, there are 3 days, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. On Friday they're running a Divide and Conquer 2-list 50-point tournament, standard steamroller, 50-point hardcore, and a Who's the Boss on Friday. On Saturday they have a 3-man team event, TempleCon style, as well as a Commander's Crucible for 35 points, 3 battle group lists. And then on Sunday is our 3-list Masters event, as well as a 2-list 35-point Flanks for the Memories event. Iron Gauntlet will be hosted on Friday and Saturday evenings. All the info for the con can be found at feastofblades.com, as well as for hotel reservations.
So they're bringing flanking to a special format, even though it doesn't exist anymore?
That's kind of awesome, actually.
I guess. 35-point 2-list Flanks for the Memories.
Ah, that's cool.
Yeah. So that is what's going on. I will be there. I think I'm the only one from Muse going, unless John randomly just decides, hey, Lance is having fun in Colorado, I got to go, mm-hmm. and hops in the van with Nigel and just takes off.
Olive Garden.
When is it?
Yeah, it's October 10th through the 12th.
Yeah, it's the exact same day as the Michigan
GT qualifier.
Yeah, but so. Colorado.
I sadly actually
Michigan,
don't think I can do either one of them anymore. Like, my last opportunity outside of War Machine Weekend was going to be the Chicago one.
Gotcha.
Which
yep.
I thought you had recruits yet, right?
No, I can't do recruits because of
school
commitments.
Yep.
You should be too cool for school.
Yeah, totally.
It's a good decision. School for cool.
It's a good decision.
Pink
and,
told me that once.
Oh, okay, we should talk about who won the
you guys
Chicago.
Also,
did you play in the Chicago?
No, I did not.
Where did the name of Feast of Blades come from?
It's actually a Warhammer event.
Oh, okay.
Originally. And then
I thought
they've
started,
added on War Machine stuff after.
I thought it started as like a CC's pizza buffet, but it was all like
raised right.
blades.
Yeah, and it's just swords. It's
yeah,
pizza made of it's swords made of pizza.
Feast of Blades, hope you don't cut your lip.
Oh, Fox is always there with the quality material.
Did you play in the qualifier?
I did not. There was some confusion as to whether or not people signed up on the list would or would not be able to play on it. My name was not on the list, so I decided not to. But that's fine. So I decided not to do that. We would like to congratulate Andy Eden. He is the winner of the Chicagoland Dice JoJo qualifier and has got the most recent setup. So all that's left is
what faction
recruits.
Did he play?
Fantastic.
Do we even know?
Question.
Yeah, he played Scorn. I'm actually serious.
Oh, yeah,
he played Scorn.
He played Scorn.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Scorn.
Yeah.
Wait, Scorn qualified? Ooh. I thought Scorn was garbage.
What? Like, gasp.
All right. So then we got recruits left. We've got
Feast of Blades.
Recruits, Feast of Blades,
Michigan
GT, and
UK qualifier.
There's a UK qualifier, yeah, if I want to go all the way over to the UK.
Yeah,
just
so there's
on a
like
whim.
Six left.
Yeah, there's quite a few left. But, yeah, Chicago was, for what else we did over there, was
yep.
a good time.
I
so.
Mean,
yeah,
like, on the bright side, you didn't go and you did really well on a test,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
yeah.
That
nailed
out.
The test.
That
well
out.
Done. You qualified for
that's
your...
That's good.
I would like to say that even though only one of the Muse guys went to the tournament, there were six of us there. So, awesome
we
tournament, guys.
We weren't at the tournament. We were in the area. We were an hour away.
Yep.
Yep. I think Tony should petition Hot Carl to have the Rikki Orumbo be,
it's gonna be a qualifier.
Yeah.
Honestly, in all truth,
it's going to be a secret qualifier. And like round one and two, you have to play Magic, and then like round three,
you play
have
Super,
to play
Dungeon,
Super
Explorer.
Dungeon Explorer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then like, a quick game of Love Letter. And then a game of War Machine.
Don't forget about
we
Thunderdome.
Talked about it.
And the final, the top eight.
Oh, my
eight
God, Thunderdome.
Is the Thunderdome? No, the top eight is one round. It's kind of like Thunderdome, and it's just one game of Werewolf.
Nice.
Thunderdome was actually a lot of fun.
Well, Thunderdome was crazy stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we also played six-player Thunderdome.
Yeah.
Which was dumb.
Yeah. It was supposed to be four players.
Yeah.
Eight-player Thunderdome for top eight.
Yeah. Well, and then...
It was...
I thought it was hilarious because I just went balls to the wall.
Yeah,
I just like tried to kill as many casters as fast as possible.
Yeah,
and got my casters were killed first, but I killed three casters, which was good enough for a second.
Yeah.
So,
and then yeah. Who killed four casters?
This guy.
Yep.
Good on you.
I mean,
and I got the trophy too. Yeah. I just took it away from Colin.
Nice.
Yeah, it was bullshit.
Shit.
I just backhanded Colin and killed four guys.
Yeah. Nice. He also got his caster killed right at the beginning, too.
It's true. Yeah, he killed Butcher before he even went.
Killed.
But it went down the line after
he
that.
He velocity'd, like Striker, like around a corner, and then attacked Butcher over a wall, and then got killed by dogs.
Yeah. And then the next person was like, all right, now I'm going to kill your caster.
He was epic healing feeded on, too. And so just two dogs killed him by vengeance.
Because F that guy.
Yep.
You overloaded for 6 bonus damage, but then blew himself up for 12?
No, 9 damage.
9? Okay. And then my dogs flanked him and ate his face.
One of them killed him.
Also, Jeremy, didn't get to play the entire Thunderdome because he kept getting feeded on.
He's like, Jenny feeded on.
No, it was,
feeded on.
It was, it was 2 Haley 2 feeds, I think.
Oh, no, we killed Keith Haley before he got the feat. But he was terrified of it.
He had Bart out. So Bart
yeah,
Typhoon.
Bart. Yeah, there was a Bart.
Haley feet, and then Nigel's Old Witch.
Yep.
So he could not do it. And he had Thagrosh, Vale, and Bethane.
So he couldn't run or charge.
Yeah. So we just kind of stayed in the middle going, I can't do anything. And then we just slowly ate him.
It's yeah, fine. So at the end of the game, he had all 3 of his casters still alive.
Yeah.
And everybody else's casters were dead.
Yeah.
But Jeremy had no chance of winning.
We were doing last man standing, but for some reason we decided not to.
Because that's really bad.
Midway through turn one, we're just like, okay, it's going to be caster kill. And they're like, all right, it's caster kill.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
So Rikki Rumble
was amazing. For those of you who don't know what Thunderdome is, you take 3 warcasters in your faction, nothing else. They all share one battle group.
Each other's battle group.
All fury casters become focus.
Focus casters, yeah.
And they replenish focus and stuff.
Okay, so this might need to be cut out.
Great.
So should we explain why you guys didn't go to the tournament for signing up? Because there was a complaint.
We went to a friend's house.
No, I'm saying because there was a complaint about Muse guys not showing up, and that's the reason why the tournament didn't have as many people.
Where was that complaint at?
It was actually on our Clash of Clans thing. Somebody complained on Clash of Clans that the guys from Muse didn't show up, and that's why that wasn't a full qualifier.
Three people. Let's see, 22
there were
4 plus.
People that did not show up.
Let's do the math. 22 plus 4.
One that wasn't signed up or on the wait list.
Hold on, 22 plus 4. Yep.
2
is
they weren't signed up or on the wait. Fox was not signed up.
Oh, 2
yes, I was not signed up
or on the wait list.
Yeah. I don't care what the number is. It 10? Were there 10 of us? Then it doesn't matter, right?
No,
22 plus less than 10 is not 32.
Turns out, when you have a wait list, don't discourage players from coming.
Yes, yes,
that's it.
Yeah, it's not the greatest.
Try to make room for players regardless.
I don't care what you.
Actually, I don't know. I don't know.
It's not a big deal.
Okay, whatever. I didn't want to insult anybody, but it actually came down to the point where I was going to go. I had the list ready to go. And then that night we ended up playing Super Dungeons Explorer until 4:30 in the morning. So it was literally, am I going to get 2 hours of sleep and then go to this tournament all day? Or am I just going to stick around, hang out, have a good time with a bunch of guys that also weren't going, playing a bunch of board games, playing a bunch of games of War Machine? Tony has a ton of factions that he's just like, here, play whatever you want. And I've been experimenting with things like Retribution or Convergence. So having the availability to do that, it just... seemed like I was going to have maybe a better and less stressful time to do that. No. So I did that instead.
Yeah, my reasoning to not going was Tony had actually scheduled that weekend for us long before that tournament was scheduled.
That's true.
And then that tournament got scheduled, and they're like, well, we could not move it. And so we just decided to not move it, and so that way some people could still play in the tournament. And
right.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. I'm sorry we didn't go to the tournament. But
I wish I would have gone to the Rikyo Rumble.
Yeah. It was amazing.
That by itself was
fun. I went to a wedding. Oh, man. Side story. So I went to a wedding instead.
Yeah.
I love how we're making them wait for these WTC reviews.
Yeah. Well,
I love how our pre-ramble is our podcast.
Yes.
It is right now. Yeah. Go ahead.
I went to a wedding the Saturday, which is why I did not get to go to the Rikyo Rumble. And over the course of, I think, like 5-6 hours, I drank like 2 entire bottles of wine.
For your health.
Mm-hmm. It's good for your heart. That's
Steve
what,
Brule.
That's what
for your health.
That's what they tell me.
Well, in moderation, but whatever.
I actually heard this story from our parents.
2 bottles of wine
which
in 6 hours is moderate.
Not moderation.
Right? That's 1 bottle every 3 hours.
Okay.
But anyway, so
you wino.
I felt perfectly fine, and like not like buzzed at the time.
Yeah.
Like just
buzz driving is drunk driving.
Well, I didn't drive, Colin.
But you drank 2 full bottles and you didn't feel anything.
No, really. It's coming.
No, it's coming. I, like,
was it Boone's
when,
farm?
No, like, when
just
I was,
wait. Just
when
wait.
Was it Kool-Aid?
No, like,
just
coming.
Lance.
Yeah,
yo,
it might have been Kool-Aid. It was Chardonnay Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid. For the sophisticated child.
Like, in the 6 hours, I didn't get like, anything other than just, like, a small buzz.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, go back to the hotel room, and it's around midnight, and, like, we just go and go to sleep. The hotel room is my girlfriend, and her 2 parents. And so we go to sleep.
That's mood killer.
In the room?
We go to sleep.
Jesus.
3 hours later, I wake up from my baby slumber.
To her parents having sex?
To...
Ooh. Better story.
To
my eyes!
To that actually happening.
Yeah, there it is.
Which is me gagging at 3 a.m. in the morning from a dead slumber. So I stand up, go to, like, walk towards the bathroom, because I'm like, this is coming. It's coming. I fling open...
The baby's coming!
I fling the door open to the bathroom, and the second I open the door, my body decides... This wave cannot be held back any longer, and I projectile vomit into the bathroom. I didn't have enough time to switch the lights on even, so I finished puking, turn the lights on, and I had drinking 2 entire bottles of red wine. And the vast majority
vomited on someone sitting on the
vast
like her mom is just sitting there taking
yeah.
like just in the dark. In the dark, taking a dump on the toilet.
Oh, that just turned into a Fairly Brothers movie.
So
go ahead.
The vast majority of my puke lands in the shower.
Sure.
Like, tub, thankfully. But when I turn the lights on, it looks like the scene from American Psycho, and it looks like I've literally murdered someone in the bathroom. Like, there were just red splatters dripping down the walls. And, like,
what
oh
you should have done was you should have just, like, laid down in it. And then just like, Amy! Just yell for Amy.
And leave the light off. And then make her turn the light on and see it and immediately freak out.
Yeah, that would have been amazing.
But yeah, so I puke all over the bathroom. And it's 3 a.m. And at this point, I feel like dying, obviously. So I have to clean it up. Because I can't. I'm like, well, this is awkward because I'm like staying in a room with her parents. So I like, can't just leave this vomit murder in the bathroom for them to come to in the morning.
I mean, you could.
Like, if it were just Amy, I'd be okay with, you know, just like,
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
sorry.
Yeah.
Like, she'd be pissed, but I'd be like, you know, I'm sorry. So I have to, like, in my drunken state, like, I close the door and everything. And I had eaten Hickory Park. So there's
good combination.
There's a barbecue sandwich, some baked beans, some mac and cheese, and some green beans.
God, you need to learn to chew your food.
Well,
yeah,
it was like an applesauce consistency, and it wouldn't go down the drain, so I had to just scoop it with my hands and throw it.
All right,
the toilet.
Is getting.
Oh, ew.
I'm going to like, cut this and put it
I'm
into a special section. I don't know what I'm going to do.
No. I'm imagining you just threw up full hamburgers.
He's like, well,
like,
here's
a half
wine.
Of a sandwich. Like, yeah. I have to like warn the listeners.
It was pretty
right.
gross. The worst part
sorry,
was
everybody.
That.
Did it stain the tile?
No. I actually cleaned everything up, and in the morning, like, no one... knew.
Because I was thinking, like, the red wine on the tile, like, staining
the
tile.
Like, no one knew. But, You know how they'll
Nick
have
had
like,
white wine.
Well, if he would have left it, then yes, it would have stayed.
White wine.
You know
wine.
How there's
white
like wine. The little. They'll oftentimes put a like display towel on the edge of the bathtub for the soaps and shampoo and conditioner.
Yeah.
One of those were there, and there was just a streak of red straight through it.
Sure.
So yeah, nice. I did ruin a
Classy.
Towel.
You ruined a towel.
Pretty sure, but no one knew in the morning. Which means I apparently did a pretty good job.
So they were like, why do we have a bloody towel?
Or maybe they...
There's so many great responses to that we cannot have on this podcast.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Go ahead, Colin. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can probably keep in the bloody towel comment. Yeah.
No, I meant like...
The
responses.
What caused the bloody towel?
Okay. Okay.
Shouldn't have done that. He's just a boy.
All right. So what's next?
But yeah, okay.
Are we going to talk about the WTC?
Let's talk about the WTC.
Sure. We're finally going to get to it, everybody.
So,
sorry.
I obviously looked at my two factions. I didn't look at any of the other factions' lists or anything. But I looked at my factions, and I was actually super excited to look at Scorn lists. Because, like, this happened last week, and last week I was very on the fence. I just needed kind of, like, hopefully, like, a push to kind of get me to one of Dojo's Scorn lists. And so I started, I was like, yes, Scorn lists. Like, these are actually going to be super awesome to look at. Last year, like, they were so, like, groundbreaking with all their lists. So, like, I started, like, looking at some lists, and then I was like, oh, Xerxes one tier. Okay. And then I'll click on the next list. Oh, Xerxes one tier again. Clicked on the next list. What the hell? Xerxes one tier. Okay, I'm just done.
They're,
like, over half of the players from Scorn are taking Xerxes one tier.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that makes a lot of sense for how WTC works. Also, like, almost every... I don't remember. It's either almost every single troll list or all of the troll lists have two units of orders. Or... like, one or two units of orders, and most of them have two. And so, like, the troll forums and a lot of people were just like, oh, my God, well, like, trolls just have to take orders now. Like, that's just how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And people think WTC lists, and some of them are, but many of them are not, like, necessarily legitimate steamroller lists.
Yes, I agree.
And so people are extrapolating, like, oh, well, these factions suck because no one's taking them to WTC. WTC essentially isn't, like, a real format.
No.
Like, it like is, it's not, but it's so weird.
You shouldn't build your two-list pair, I think, or you shouldn't go into list pairing and think, well, these were the list pairing in the WTC for my faction, so I must take them.
Right.
Because like, they are the two best list pair.
Well, we like need it, to explain like, why it is that so way, because like, some of our listeners might not know why it's that way.
So, like, for trolls, having two units of orders in every list, say, that player on the five-person team could have a very... good opportunities to essentially just 100% steamroll someone because how WTC works is one team choose a pairing. So, like, I'm going to lay down this person. And then, like, the other team lays out two people. And then the other team one picks that matchup. And then the other team lays out one player. And then they lay out two. And
so
it
you
repeats
just take
over
the,
and over
the
again.
Leftover player from the first matchup.
Right. and so... you could potentially game it and set up a scenario where someone ends up playing, like, Double Warders or Fist of Halak against someone who doesn't have a good answer to those in their pairing.
Mm-hmm.
So you can essentially skew one of the five games to just be like, well, that's an auto win. Like,
yeah, you get, like, in the WTC, you see a lot of skew list. If you go looking faction per faction, like, there's just a lot of skew list. Like, each of them have different kinds of skews, but they're all there, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, I saw a bunch of Fist of Hell. I got super upset, and I was like, "All right, I'm done with Scorn. There's no, I don't know. I can't think of the word right now.
Colin, you're being too mopey about Scorn.
No. There's no
variation.
No.
All right, let's play.
Innovation.
There's no pizzazz.
Innovation. We got
there's
it.
No innovation. Woo! It's okay.
There's not really a ton of innovation.
Something
right
we'd play catchphrase.
Yeah. Oh my god, I want to play catchphrase now.
Yeah.
I do too.
The Scorn list actually, or the Signar list actually looked very similar to last year. I thought there was quite a few Stormlances still.
That's just a European meta situation, is what I always hear. Like, that is. That's the explanation I hear.
Yeah,
but.
I mean, that might like it might just be that they're popular over there, or they might just be popular for the WTC. But yeah, I'm not like I don't. I think we learned last year that they're just fine. Like they're not great, they're not bad. Like they're fine, and they work well with P. Haley. They work well with what was it? P. Kane and now Striker 3. Like so they have reasons to be played now. So it's like it's not I don't know. I like it. I like the Signar list. But I do not have money for Storm Lances.
I mean,
so
the lists that are interesting are actually like the SKU lists or the ones that basically make you raise an eyebrow of like what the hell is that person doing?
Yeah,
those are the interesting ones, and I think those are the people who put a significant amount of time thinking about the WTC formats. When you see more traditional steamroller-esque lists,
yeah, like freaking America,
yeah, those lazy bums.
They just don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Playing what they usually do.
I mean, it's harder for the I would imagine it's harder for the American WTC team to. Like get together and work on WTC together.
Yeah.
Just from a logistics standpoint.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right. Obviously,
like,
it is.
Oh, Team Denmark. It's like that. That thing's like smaller than Iowa.
Yeah,
don't talk crap about Denmark.
Denmark's sweet.
From what I understand, which I obviously I'm not from Europe. I did not go to the WTC.
You're not.
Like from what I could tell from their podcast. Is they seem to all kind of be like all their teams are general, like in the same area where they get to play and practice with each other.
Right. It would be like if the WTC American team was just like five people from our meta.
Yeah.
Instead of like.
Or at least from our state or something.
Yeah.
Where they could get together.
Like
on
a 3-hour or less drive from one another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rather than
like
one is in
18 hours to Texas.
Yep.
Scoop.
Yeah. But so like that actually could just be an inherent advantage, but
probably.
I thought about that too, and I said that to Nigel, and then Nigel kind of disagreed with me because
that guy's an idiot. Well, when you hear that, Nigel? You're an idiot.
Yeah, but when it boils down to it, it's still just a one player trying to beat one player.
It's not. It's a 5v5. It's like when you do a team draft in Magic. It's not one player versus one player.
Oh my god, I love team drafts.
Yep.
Like it's.
I mean,
team event.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like all game is one player versus another player.
Yeah.
But like it is the team's decision to decide like how to set up the matchups.
Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Okay. So anyway, what I was saying was jumping in on the whole team thing. This is kind of changing track a little bit. We were talking about the new USA team format for selection. Colin brought up the point that like it would be nice to have people form their own teams, like, and have more team tournaments in the United States. Just period.
So my idea was what I was saying about like what we had this conversation about was my idea was instead of voting on a team, it would be two regional tournaments, which I understand like the logistics of doing like regional tournaments, especially just like two is just really hard. And so it would be like two regional tournaments where you'd split the U.S. in half. And then you'd have, like, a captain, or you'd have, like, one team, or you'd form up teams, and then the winning team of that region's tournament would be one of the teams for the WTC. That's the basic idea. And you would take how you decide, like, where the region is, what region you play for is wherever you declare your captain from. So, like, you can take players from all over the country to form your team if you want, or you could do like your local meta and like have players to practice with and things like that. And like you can, I don't know, I think it'd be kind of sweet. And then like you can do like, because you're doing this like big tournament with what should be quite a few people in the tournament, then like that's also, it could count as a fundraiser towards the WTC team. So the winning team could just get the prize support going towards airline tickets or something like that. Like,
so you're saying the teams, I kind of like lost that halfway through there.
I did
like,
too.
So wait, do we create teams and then like the teams battle in a tournament
yes.
to decide the
yes.
winning team?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I got it.
Play
so
in
it's
a WTC
giant, you basically play in
tournament.
A team tournament.
Yes.
And then yeah. the winning team goes to the WTC.
You play yes. in the format that WTC is in. There's advantages to this. Is one, it brings that format to the United States where it doesn't
yeah,
exist
it does
already.
Not exist.
And it gets you, like, players used to playing it. It also gets those that end up going practice playing it in a real tournament.
Yeah, like because it kind of stinks for, like, guys like most of us anyway. Where like I'll like we'll never be invited for the WTC or anything like that. Like we'll never make that team.
Like I don't know if that's necessarily true.
Yeah,
I mean Nick has the best chance.
Never say never.
Well, I'm never going.
Well, yeah, I know you're never.
Oh,
going.
What?
Well, there
so
is.
That's like part of.
There's an argument with voting though. Whenever you have something with voting, like that's part of what we were
like,
talking about.
So like part of the reason why like I believe I wouldn't really ever. Get that opportunity, even if I like snuck in one tournament and qualified for WTC by winning a War Machine Weekend qualifier.
The citizenship,
I would still.
You mean
what
the citizenship thing that they're doing now?
Yeah,
yeah.
So like,
I also hate that because I hope Chuck Elswick wins every tournament forever, and then it's Chuck Elswick versus Europe.
Yeah,
that would be amazing.
Yeah, I said that.
Chuck versus the world.
Yeah,
sounds like a movie.
The now. Chuck stands alone.
Sorry, I didn't mean to like disrupt you. I mean, so you're saying if you manage to win one of those things
oh,
and become
yeah.
a WTC citizen, you'll never get voted on the team.
I would never get voted on the team because
why?
My track record as a player is not consistently good.
Have they been struggling to find people to get on or to pay for the travel? I mean, has that been the
that's
problem?
One of, that's, I think, probably the number one hurdle.
Yeah.
So, like, it's different for Magic. It's really easy to get people on the Pro Tour because there's qualifying events to get on the Pro Tour, which
right.
is essentially the equivalent of the WTC.
Right.
Not quite, but let's say it's the equivalent.
Yeah.
Pro Tour is more equivalent to WTC.
Sure, okay.
Or to War Machine Weekend. But, you know, there's qualifying events for the Pro Tour. And then if you win a qualifying event for the Pro Tour, congratulations, your airfare is paid.
Right.
That's the vast majority of the cost
right.
of your trip, typically.
So I guess I don't necessarily agree with you, Colin. If you qualify for a WTC citizenship, you put your name up there, they start going through the list of people, and they have trouble filling teams, and you're willing to go, I can see you going.
Yeah, like
well,
you could have
so
been
you're
on
saying,
Team UN.
Well, what
or
so
that.
What you're saying is if they struggle to fill the team, which they really won't, mm-hmm. if they struggle to fill the team, then I have a chance. So if about 20 people say
I mean,
no.
If you, I mean, there's a lot of hurdles to get over. One, there's the financial hurdle.
Well,
two.
Yeah, we'll just assume I have the financial hurdle.
Yeah, so, I mean, there may become a time where you are consistent enough and good enough that
so
you can put it on the WCC. And it's not just about being, like, good. Like, it's also about representing
that was part
the
of
US.
That's part of the selection is that they want good ambassadors for the game.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
I mean, and here we are. We have the wonderful opportunity of being able to do this podcast. People know who we are pretty well, at least from a somewhat worldwide standpoint.
No,
everybody
knows
Ireland
us.
And you know, Australia
yeah.
guys listen to
yeah,
us.
Literally
so
everybody.
If they like us, if they think we're cool, or they think we're having a good time, and we qualify for WTC, I think it could be at least in the consideration. But let me throw at least in the idea of what you were talking about with doing the team tournament thing to see who wins. I like the idea of that in terms of you know, here's anybody can come up and could maybe get a chance to be at the WTC. But at the same time, I think us as a country, in terms of selecting the teams to go over there, will want to pick and choose instead of people just kind of lucking themselves in a way.
See,
well, I mean, technically this is lucking yourselves
yeah,
in.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
It already is by
yeah,
itself.
The new system.
And so they would rather do that for – they'd rather luck yourself in to get yourself into the qualification but then choose the best players and put them on a team together. I can see their point
see,
of wanting to build the teams with the highest quality people to have the best chance for USA to win.
If you win a qualifier as a team, that team is good enough to run the gauntlet of that qualifier as a team and then go and represent at the WTC.
Yeah, I actually don't care who we send over there so long as it's not a bunch of like dickholes.
Okay.
Like, yeah. Honestly, like, the best team to send would be, like, the Mid-South guys.
Sure.
Like, if there was a Mid-South team, like, that would be the best possible team in terms of, like, building
Your Mid-South guys.
We would actually
like, them and
Europe,
the Irish would probably, like, make Europe explode.
Europe would probably just actually love America for the first
time. So let's just vote Mid-South WTC 2015. Go.
Yeah.
Hashtag.
Like, that's happening.
Hashtag Mid-South WTC.
I actually really like the idea of having...
We might actually get a Nobel Prize for this.
Colin, I don't think you know how the Nobel Prize works.
Well, clearly, this is in economics.
Like, we're creating world peace,
Nobel
actually.
Prize
world
in economics.
In booze sales alone. Go ahead.
Right? Economics.
Economics.
Oh, man.
Reaganomics. Go ahead.
No, I actually... This might actually be able to become a thing a few years down the line, is the idea of the WTC team qualifying event.
Yeah.
Where you and four friends or acquaintances go plan a tournament. The issue is it would have to be at a pretty big con already.
Yeah. Like the
It's a logistical problem because if we put it at War Machine Weekend, which I think is probably the best place to put it.
Probably.
You run into the problem of, well, there's the Invitational, there's also like
Iron
the Last
Gauntlet.
Chance qualifier, and there's Iron Gauntlet. Yeah. So they should throw Iron Gauntlet out the window and replace it with this problem solving.
I got a chance to talk to Carl a couple weekends ago, and he threw out the 2.75 list, two caster list, which
actually
obsessed me to no end. But that's beside the point. It's because it, logistically and in the space that they had, they could not run Iron Gauntlet qualifier and that and the Last Chance qualifier at the same time, which I 100% understand. So, but he's saying that once the contract thing rolls over from the current hotel that he's in, he's going to have a much bigger space. It'll go to 4 days instead of three, and he'll have no problem putting that event back in as well as anything else big like that, which I could see them doing a two-day drag over from like a Thursday, maybe early Friday for the rest of the WTC team tournament.
Yeah.
Then he can run Iron Gauntlet like he does now on a Friday afternoon and go from there.
And to save time, it could actually just be a single elimination event.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Where, like,
no
reason not to. You're
just out.
Because... It would either have to be a War Machine Weekend, I think, or Lock and Load.
Actually, you could have it at both of them.
You could have both.
You could, because we do have two teams.
Yeah.
So you have qualified WTC or War Machine Weekend. God! Why do they both start with Ws? I can't handle it.
Yep. Qualify at War Machine Weekend. Qualify at Lock and Load.
Yeah, and that's pretty much like kind of think about half the year. I mean, one's in June and one's in November.
Yeah, and like the entry fee. So let's assume there's like, how many teams do you think there would be?
That would go to Lock and Load and War Machine Weekend?
Yeah, just like how many teams do you think would be in a tournament?
Four?
Like 10, 12?
In a tournament?
Yeah.
Like if you think about like the team tournament, like TempleCon.
Those are three-man teams, though. It's way harder. It's way harder to get five people together.
Yeah, sure.
Actually, I think you'd be surprised at the turnout. If it became a legit format and it was a qualifier, and if we could get it to the point that the tournament... The fees, the funding, all the money goes back to the team that wins for, like, trip. Like, if that was the case.
I mean, it would be outside of, like, setup and stuff.
It would have to be,
right.
It would have to be, like, God, the entry fee, though, in order to, like, help. It could be, like, $100 a team.
Yeah.
So that's $20 a person. If there's, like, 10 teams, you know, $1,000. But that's not a lot.
I think you could get more people doing it than you think you would.
I actually think the turnout for teams would be pretty big. Like, because I think there's actually just a lot of people in America that want to play this format and don't get the opportunity.
Yeah, like if this was actually just a format,
like
five-man team tournaments.
Like,
sure.
Really it'd be a blast. I would love to do it.
All right, we're doing one. I'm going to set one up in
Des
Moines.
Team News, right?
Oh, boy.
Team Miami, right here.
I'm
going to
set one up in Des Moines. Bring it.
We're Fox News Miami.
No, we're not.
We're
I will walk away from this
we're
podcast.
Fox
if we're
Fox's News.
We're Fox's News.
Oh, my God.
Miami.
We are Fox News Miami.
Miami.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't really agreed to be on the team yet. So,
if anybody has some sweet offers for Fox to take him away from us, feel free. He's leaving himself open as a free agent.
Don't worry, we have Radio Fans contract to bring him in still.
Oh, that's true.
We still have that. So,
yeah,
we have
and a
first
round draft pick to be named
that
later.
Could be kind of a fun format. The turnout, I still feel like we'd have to do it at a larger con.
Yeah.
I may talk to Carl about doing
it. It could be a totally legit
I
Crump
think he's
WTC qualifier.
Been approached. I think they've already discussed it. Because
let's approach him again.
Yeah.
From behind.
With a bottle
I mean, granted, we have nothing to do with the selection process.
Yeah, but we could.
Who's to say we
are the loudest? They will listen.
Yeah,
right?
That's America.
All right, everyone start yelling now.
Yelling. Yeah. All right. So back to
the list only I have talked about.
Yeah. I played one of the.
I may have been looking while you guys were talking and not paid attention to the beginning of this entire segment.
Sorry to derail us.
I looked at all the circle lists.
Good.
Pretty much had the same plots as Colin. These are all very boring. Nice Morvana 2, Kruger 2 pair.
Boo. Actually, I love both those lists.
Yeah, WTC.
Stay strong, WTC.
WTC also stands for Want to Copy.
Yeah.
Oh!
Get that zinger in there, Fox.
I think, like, there was
why did you not win the Zings Per Minute Award at the Regional
I told you I let Nigel have it.
You let him have it, all right.
There were quite a few Kaya 2 lists, which I was happy to see, but then they were all theme forces, so I wasn't as happy to see them.
What's her theme?
It's like you
all
take
the beasts in the world,
yeah,
and skinwalkers.
Basically, your beasts like advance deploy, but you have to take your beasts advance deploy, and the heavies cost one less. And then
is that your Berks a lot list?
No, that's Pikaya.
Oh, okay.
I don't play the Epic Kaya theme force because it requires you to take skinwalkers, which do essentially nothing for her except for hold zones. Kind
do
of.
Do they do that?
Yeah, that's why I'm saying kind of. And then she does literally nothing for them. Like, literally not a single thing for them.
All right, Adam's a little child. He wants to say something.
He's raising his hand.
Adam Fox is playing in the WTC, and he's playing minions.
Nice, dog.
Oh, my God. Can I go to the WTC?
That's serious.
I've never seen another Adam
Fox.
Adam
Fox is playing in the WTC. From Ireland.
What?
I guess.
Playing minions.
I'm just
way to represent.
Out now.
How did you not?
You want to tell us your list?
And Colin was just saying no one on this podcast got selected, and you didn't even tell us.
Yeah, oh, man.
Come on.
What
I was
the
holding
hell?
Out. I'm sorry, guys.
You son of a bitch.
That's amazing.
Wait,
it's not even spelled different. It's literally the same.
There's only one X? Are you kidding me?
This is Adam Fox.
I wonder if actually put his name in there wrong.
I hope I thought it was going to be spelled this. Like F-A-U-X.
Well, there can only be one, so...
Like Fox.
Oh, my God.
So you're going to have to Highlander this guy? He's from Ireland,
no.
So he's already close.
No, like that. No, like the Jet like the Jet Li movie.
Oh, okay, the one.
Highlander?
Yeah.
No, the one.
Is this like... If
Rush
you guys
Hour?
Ever meet, the world will just, like, implode?
They have to fight each other.
It's actually his long-lost brother.
They have to fight
twins.
Each other, whichever one wins becomes stronger.
They wouldn't name twins the same, Adam.
Yeah, they did. In this case.
They were identical twins, and they're like, that's going to be confusing forever. Let's just name them the same
Let's just name them Adam. And then whichever one you're addressing is going to be right.
Oh, my God. All right.
They were Irish. They were probably drunk.
One, that's amazing.
They're like, I want to name this baby. Name that one Adam. What about this baby? I like something different. Name that one Adam.
I really just hope it's a troll on Fox.
That'd be so weird. Just weird it out.
You're kind of freaking out right now.
Freaking out,
wait,
man.
Is that like one of the Overload Online guys? Because I've literally never heard of him.
Yeah, I haven't either.
He might have been on there before.
All right. I don't know about you. I've heard of Adam Fox.
He's sitting
right
here.
No, I've only heard
I'm
of
right
Fox.
Here.
I mean, who hasn't? All right. Did you have anything else on the circle list?
Yeah. I actually played
of course he does.
One of the lists.
He's got 5 more hours of material. Yeah, go!
He won't shut up about circle.
The only Mosar list at the WTC, and it's actually an alternate player.
Not on the main team?
No. I was really intrigued by it. It's from Sweden Epic. His name is Johan Deerling. Yeah, something like that, probably. Whatever. Be more English, please. So his list is Mosar, a World Watcher, a World Weird, Megalith, Celestial Fulcrum, Druids with UA, Shifting Stones, no UA, and Trackers, Nuala, Pendrake, and a Galsgrove. So I sat down against Chad, which I do not think is what this list was intended to play against.
Chad?
No, just trolls.
Oh.
Which is, again, why you end up with these, like, weird lists.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it might have been, like Legion, kind of. But that doesn't seem super awesome. I'm not actually sure where he's going with this list, to be honest. I think it's obviously for a Hordes matchup. I'm just not sure exactly which one he wants it. Because it's Mosar, which is good against Hordes. Typically, like, because of his feet.
Yeah.
And then Pendrake is in there as well. And the reason I was kind of thinking it was against Legion was because Pendrake with trackers praying a heavy and Curse of Shadows, like four blood trackers will just kill an angel.
Yeah.
That's kind of sweet.
And then pillars, depending on the legion list, can actually be kind of problematic.
Yeah.
Because they're pretty low model count lists,
if it's
usually.
Not just Ravagor. Well, even if it's Ravagor, it's still...
Like, a Ravagor kills a pillar.
Killing to kill... Yeah. That's not very good.
Yeah.
Forget about me, Internet. Stop listening.
So that's kind of what I was thinking it was for. There's also druids, which are immune to, like, Ravagor shots, and a fulcrum, which is also immune to, like, their heavy damage guns.
But, woo!
Yeah. I don't know. I played against Shad. I actually really liked the battle group because it has an exact amount of fury to force all of your beasts every turn and, like, camp Mosar on zero and then take eight back the next turn because Megalith forces for four. The Wold Weird is three more, so that's seven. And then the Wold Watcher puts it to nine. So you can Maltry one off and then cast a bunch of pillars, camp to zero. And that guy can camp to zero pretty safe because he's just stays so far back. And then there's still eight fury on the table with just three beasts, which is sweet. So, that list was probably the most interesting circle list I saw. So decided to give it a try. Unfortunately, he's an alternate and not a main. But yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm sorry. Did you win or lose that game?
Oh, I won.
Okay.
Yay.
So the list isn't...
I drug skill drag to his death.
That works.
Nice. So I looking at the minions pairings, like lists, there's six people that are actually playing it. The pairings are actually kind of interesting.
Whoa, wait. We can't talk about minions.
Oh, gosh. We're just garbage.
We are going to light
all right, go on.
Okay, anyway.
Forums on fire.
No, there's six people playing them. And actually, if you look at their lists... pairings, it's kind of interesting because just like we were talking about before, how you're talking about the Fist of Alok, like being like, there's one list that you might be able to see. So there's a lot of Barnabas. Like five of the six have Barnabas.
Bears.
And yeah, well, I mean, there's not a lot of variation between the individual lists themselves. I mean, there is.
I meant, like, were they playing as Theme Forest?
No, nobody's playing Barney and Friends. I'm very sad that no one is playing Barney
and Friends.
That would
probably be really legit in that format.
Yeah, because it does two things. It actually would be really interesting in that format because Barney and Friends like covers what you were bringing Barnabas for anyway, which is like Lilith or certain things that Barnabas
Six
just
what's
great.
What's the actual tier called?
Apex Predators.
Okay.
Yeah. Apex, Barney, and Friends.
Yes, okay. Barney and Friends.
Garouk, Apex Predators.
And then it also asks like a huge question where it's like, can you deal with all these gators? Can you deal with terror? Like,
yeah.
Have fun with that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, nobody's playing it. But there's five Barnabas lists. Everybody's bringing Rask. And then Ricard is playing Maelok. But Maelok's like his bread and butter. And it's kind of interesting. I thought there would have been more Maelok because and maybe less Rask because you're bringing an armor skew. But then the thought of bringing Rask is obviously to be able to deal with like Fist of Alok or something or yeah. Meat Mountain or whatever coming to the table. So it's like an interesting thought in the team build type thing.
Yeah, it's Jesus Christ, the freaking Theme Force would be so good in that format.
Like
Barney and Friends,
yeah,
drop it against Signar. And just auto
yeah, I mean
lose.
That's pretty good actually.
And just auto lose. See, just 100% wins every time. You auto lose.
Do you know how Barnabas works?
Yes.
Okay.
They hide in swamps and they can't be targeted by ranged attacks.
Yeah.
They have to come out eventually.
Siege just going to melee them? Like, let's get in the trench, boys. Kaboosh.
Siege just ground pounders.
Mm-hmm.
Once a turn.
He ground pounders once. And then they come into an R22 Stormwall.
Mm-hmm.
Fail to kill Stormwall, and then now they're all out of Swamp Hits, and I kill all of them.
And then they forget to kill Stormwall and just kill his caster.
Yeah, Colin's just not against me. It's fine.
Yeah, it's always not against me.
All right, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, shut up, God.
I have very definitive answers, and I will always win.
Yeah. God dang it.
Be sure to turn your mic back on.
There was one other thing I wanted to say with it is that, like, all of the lists, almost all the lists have spitters in them. Like, they're in it.
People like, have figured out how good those guys are.
Well, no, yeah, they're really good, but it
oh, it's so bad.
I'm not trolling. It's
like,
fine.
No, he Lance is being legitimate.
Fox is like,
yeah, I heard him.
Spitters are legitimate.
Yeah. No, it's that. I realize I, and I think it's the meta here. Like, I play Rask so differently, and it, you don't wouldn't think that you would be able to.
Yeah.
Play the list as differently as you
like,
can.
I think because they can determine what matchups are going to, like, what are these spitters in? Are they with Rask or are they with
both.
Barnabas? Or, like I said, they're with both. Like I think it's something where they can determine what they're going to be playing against. So if they're going to be taking spitters, like, spitters aren't terrible against, like, Meat Mountain because they can go after, actually, they're pretty bad against Meat Mountain.
I was about to say they're pretty bad against Meat Mountain.
They're okay in Rask because they get Fury, but... and they're.
I mean, I actually think they help against the Signar matchup because getting blast damage on Gunmage is pretty good. Like, being able to reach out and touch them is always good.
What? Spitters corrode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you just corrode the Meat Mountain. You just let them sizzle.
Tick, tick, tick.
Yeah, you just wait them. Wait them out.
Except for they have a Creel Stone, but whatever.
Yeah, you just corrode them and wait them out.
Just snipe out the Creel Stone.
Yeah.
Yeah, just kill the
with
elder.
The spitter.
Right?
Oh my god.
Shoot, we just figured it out.
Yeah, no, that was where my thought was going at first, and I was like, wait, that doesn't work. But, yeah. Oh. No, actually, it still doesn't make sense to me.
Oh, there is one player who's playing, and I'm super happy, and it's Adam Fox. Thank you for doing this.
You're welcome.
Is playing
you are welcome.
Swamp Horrors
Young
with
man.
Rask.
And I respect you very much for doing that. That's
yep.
awesome. Like, I love Swamp Horrors with Rask.
Okay.
He's amazing.
What's their Animus again? Is that the minus?
It's the reach.
Reach.
Oh, it's Reach. Well, yeah.
It's
Reach. Yeah.
It's their 8 points. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you play Swamp Horrors?
People don't like them. They would rather have Wrestlers.
Because their defensive stats are dog balls.
Yeah.
So like
in melee, they're
17 or something.
Reach is really good, though.
Did you say 10-17?
Yeah.
Dude.
10-17.
Yeah, they're 10-17. They're 10-17. They
have Impervious Flesh. It's so freaking legit.
But you can deliver them with a because of Impervious Flesh. You can deliver them with a with Spiny Growth on them.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah,
yeah.
It's like they're actually 10-19.
Right?
Ooh. Oh man, that's legit.
Wait, why doesn't the Spitter have Spiny Growth? He's the one with the turtle shell.
He's got girded and ornery because snapping turtles are ornery.
Sure,
fluff.
Okay. Dude, I don't freaking yeah.
All right. I think we've had enough minions.
All right, so let's keep talking about minions.
Get out of here, Adam.
All right.
So the WTC percentages from... Oh.
Lance wanted to talk about his faction.
Nobody else has any factions to talk about. It's fine.
No one's allowed to interrupt God.
I mean,
also.
It's a Crump show, all right?
I didn't look at it until we started this podcast,
and I
Lance.
Looked at
Crump,
all of them,
Crump,
and I have
Crump,
a lot to talk
Crump.
About.
All right, go.
Crump.
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 It's the Crump show.
Oh my gosh, he's a freaking
yeah!
He's a scientist too.
Oh my god, it works so perfectly.
If you didn't realize them just chanting out Crump's name, it's because of Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Bill, Bill, Bill,
yes.
Bill, Bill.
It's an inside joke that came up tonight. Go, Lance.
Randomly. Yeah, off of Bill Nighy, the actor of all things.
I mean, that's not that far of a stretch.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Whatever.
Bill Nighy.
Nick Crumpton the science fart.
All right, whatever. A lot of Butcher 3, naturally, built relatively the same way. You know, Tiernan's and Jackson, Iron Fang Pikeman. So not a lot of innovation there. But a lot of Butcher 2 in tier. There was one guy who ran Butcher 2 out of tier that has a very interesting list. I can't remember which one it was, but it was unique and good on him for, you know, trusting random focus. a lot of people were running... Doom Reavers with Greylord Escorts for the tough.
Okay.
Which I
wait, Butcher 3?
No, just in general. Like, for, like, Vlad 2, they were running them. They were running it with, just to give them tough.
Okay.
And Silence.
And Silence. Yeah, so they don't berserk all over each other, which isn't bad. And I kind of like that because a couple guys had their Butcher 3 or Butcher 2 tier lists similar to mine where they had, like, only 3 units of Doom Reavers, all with the Greylord Escort and then a number of Jacks in the back. and then some other support units, which was cool. Because that's the way I ran it, and that's how I beat John Jamaris.
Does that Turnian dude have Battle Wizard? I vaguely remember.
No, but he has a spray.
Okay.
And he's also spell warded and whatever.
He should have Battle Wizard.
God, my hand.
So then when they charge, he can charge kill a guy and wizard.
I just want to point this out, but like I'm pretty sure like the Miami cast is like undefeated against the main cast. Just thought I should point that out.
Right.
No, I sadly lost to Maxim today.
Shut up.
They don't have to know. So it's very interesting that, I mean, people had it in a Vlad II list. People had it in a Irisk list. And even cool with that is that it's the tough no knockdown, so it's tough on even the turn. Well, it's on his feet turn anyway, but that sort of thing.
On whose feet?
Irisk. He gets 4+ tough and no knockdown on his feet, but they just have tough all the time, so
yeah,
it doesn't matter. It was a stupid statement. So that was just an interesting thing that I was seeing a lot of. I will want to point out a specific player's one that I'm very interested in, and it is the Russia 2 team, Viktor Nelipovich. He had a 2-pair list that I really, really like. One, because first one is Old Witch with Behemoth. He has Silas in there. Nis Hunters maxed with Valachev, Great Bears, Greylord Tyranid, which of course you kind of have to have. He's running the Kaiazi Assassins at the max with the Underboss, so I think he obviously got the tech from me. He has Iris 2, Gormundur Wolf, and Kel Balok. What's up?
No one's ever played Kaiazi Assassins before.
No one's played Kaiazi Assassins now.
No one. Until I started talking about putting it on this. Kaiazi Assassins. Yeah, these lists were submitted 6 months ago.
Oh, were they really?
They were supposed to. They were submitted like months ago.
Wow.
Hence why there's like no new models on there. Like there are no Rotterhorn Griffins. There are new Argus Moonhounds.
Yeah. Fair enough. Either way. Because they weren't. It's cool. Yeah. It's the list is run similar to the way I run mine, other than it doesn't have a lot of armor in it, other than Behemoth. It's just a lot of high def models and doing a lot of damage, which is fantastic. So I like that list a whole lot. His list pair is Vlad 1, and it's Vlad 1 with Beast 09, Conquest, and Drago, all in his battle group with a War Dog.
I forgot Drago existed.
He has.
He said Drago, and I was like,
"Who?
You're like, from Rocky 3?
Our fourth guy that drags?"
I immediately, for some reason, thought whatever their junior is called, his name was Drago.
Andre 3000.
Oh my God! Since this guy's from Russia, I so hope all of his stuff is painted like Russian, and that like he made him look like Ivan Drago from Rocky 4.
Yeah, like he's got the
like he's blonde crew cred on the hot
model is named
with a
after.
Fade.
Yeah.
Just ask BP. They'll tell you.
Yeah.
And
the battle group.
He's got Apollo laying dead at his feet.
Beast 09, Conquest, Drago with a War Dog is the battle group. And then he has Widowmakers, Max Wintergard Infantry, plus the UA, no Rocketeers, Colden Lord, and Kovnik Joe.
Colden Lord, the solo.
Yeah, the one that does Power Booster. So he is 100% banking on Signs Importance for the Winter Guard Infantry with no rockets and the Widowmakers, and the rest of it is going to be pretty much his battle group on feet turn with double speed. And he's really only going to be able to fuel, I mean, if it's not under S&P, he's going to be able to throw quite a bit of focus out.
Yeah, I mean, that list doesn't actually need to cast Signs Importance, which is actually kind of interesting.
I mean, for the Winter Guard. Well, I guess.
Oh, thank God there's like a Covenant Joe.
Well, okay.
Wait, Joe doesn't help that?
But the damage, I mean.
Yeah, well, they're in the list to kill infantry models.
Right.
Not armor 20
medium-based infantry? I don't know. I don't know which one is his horde drop and which one is his.
Drago doesn't have reach, right?
No, he does not.
Sad.
So Beast 09 does, Conquest does. I'm assuming Drago is there to just feed to somebody, possibly.
Actually, he can do a lot of work with Vlad.
Why wouldn't it just be a Juggernaut in that case?
No. He can do a lot of work with Vlad because he doesn't blow up with Vlad.
But he signs importance
all the time. But he can if you want to. He charges and frees all the time.
Beast 09 and Drago both have heavy boilers, so they both run charge for free.
Yeah.
So the only thing he's spending on any of his other turns is pretty much to run the Conquest and then to eventually start taking shots off.
Does Drago have chain attack?
Chain attack,
bloodbath.
Chain attack, bloodbath. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good against Meat Mountain.
No, it's not.
Right? Isn't it if you damage?
With his non.
Oh, it's when you kill it. Yeah.
Is it kill? No, bloodbath is if you damage? Make... Jesus Christ. Okay, chain attack bloodbath is if you hit the same model with both of your initials, you can immediately make a melee attack against every model in your melee range.
Right.
Which is half inch.
Dick all against borders.
Yeah, it's a billion degrees.
Yeah, you can maybe engage two orders.
With that non-reach.
Yeah. Yeah. Free if you put them in a nice little pocket for you to get in.
They're just like, if they just create a horseshoe of warders.
Like, here you go, buddy.
Like,
right here, Drago.
Yeah, I didn't kill one.
Yeah. So.
He still dies off. Five.
I just found that incredibly interesting way to attempt to maximize the feat and throw a ton of armor into the list that I just was not expecting to see.
Yeah. Telling you.
I mean, it makes more dynamic of a caster out of Vlad than just pay for focus. Cast the spell.
Sounds important.
My army does stuff.
No.
And, like, his feet. Coming from my perspective as a circle player, is pretty ball busting when Kador jacks out there at my circle stuff.
I'm kind of okay with that.
So, yeah.
And boundless charge.
I am a horrible player because every time I think of Vlad 1, I want to play Berserker spam.
Yeah, well,
you're terrible. That's why you play minions.
Yeah.
You hate the bad. You love bad things.
I like bad things.
Right. God, that's actually. I actually like that a lot.
I do too. I'm
interested
in that.
You can, like, on the approach, cast Signs of Importance and, like, allocate three to the Conquest, and then your, like, infantry can do a fair amount of
work. Right.
And then, like, the second they leave something in, like, threat range, you can pull the trigger.
Yeah. And then everything gets killed.
Ready with the trigger.
Yeah. And, I mean, on his feet turn, if you, like, allocate a bunch of focus, Widowmakers still do a lot of work. Like, if Widowmakers were just a four-man unit in literally any faction with no way to buff them, they would just be a ridiculously good unit.
Yes. I would take them
like in literally
anytime.
Any faction. Like, they don't need buffing.
I know. They don't. I know. I play Krix. Yes.
Yeah, right. And then Winter Guard are fine the one turn because of Joe. Like, that unit has enough ways to fix, like, any problems that come towards them, both inherently in the Winter Guard card and then with Joe. Because they have CRA, so you can fix any of those problems.
Indeed.
I like it.
It's good ability.
I just thought those were neat lists. I mean, they were both two lists that were kind of close to my play style.
Keep going. Yeah. I was going to say, I didn't see a lot of Butcher 1 in the lists.
There was quite a few, actually.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people were running Gudlines with them.
It's pretty standard.
Pretty standard stuff. So nothing really groundbreaking on them, but there were quite a few of them. One guy was running Claws of the Dragon, which is the tier out of the No Quarter. Which is one of my favorite tiers. Huh?
It's with all the black dragons.
You IFP UAs in general, just go to FAE Unlimited. And so he was running, I think, IFP Black Dragon, IFP Black Dragon, IFP Black Dragon, Max, Ulans, Juggernaut, Kovnik Markov, and something else. The best part is that all the Jacks get advanced move, IFP get advanced move.
See, because it seems like you would want...
And it's plus one to go first. Yeah. I played it at Lock and Load. I played it Lock and Load 2 years ago. Maybe 13 of my 16 games were Claws of the Dragon because the new Kovniks were out. And I was playing those like crazy, and it was just... It was good in a lot more matchups than I thought it was going to be.
That's also probably a very good list for WTC, because then...
Oh, yeah.
You're just like...
Skew into high armor. Yeah.
More like Fist of... Bad...
Palop?
I don't know.
Fist of Palop. Yeah, I mean, it's not great for a two list 50 point, especially when you get like D and C'd into
it. No, but in WTC, like you would think that you would have like you think in Kador, like P Butcher is all, like pretty hard counter to high arm.
Yep.
So you would think like that would be a list that you would see a lot.
You'd see a lot of P Butcher and a lot of like. Mm-hmm. Maybe Dragon Claw or whatever it's called.
Claws of the Dragon tier.
Dragon Craw.
I think when I was playing it, I think I had two IFP units, but then I had two Manhunters because Manhunters were allowed in it. Min Ulans with Stalin, Butch War Dog, and then I had two Juggernauts in it. So it was just, and then the two Kovniks. So it was just a huge wall of armor just kind of slowly marching towards you, and then once it's ready, pull the trigger, feet, everything goes in, just murders everything. It was a lot, people were just like, slowly backing up, trying to shoot stuff, get things out the table, and I was just murdering, you know, storm walls, colossals, the high armor stuff, everybody else's Jackson beasts were just blowing up. So it's a neat list as long as it doesn't get just shot, and I mean, Siege would just destroy it. Yes, Colin, Siege would destroy it.
Pretty
easily.
That's what he's been waiting
before
for.
Before you even said something about it, it's like, not against me. Siege will murder it.
Not Siege, but like.
Siege would, absolutely.
He's like, I don't even need Siege. I'll just take PK.
Yeah, PK.
He'd do it.
Yeah, you get done. But it's a neat tier, and I was kind of interesting when we were looking at the three lists for this weekend too. It was just like, well, and I was talking with Keith about it. He's like, well, third list almost always has to be like a tier, just because you start running out of options for characters in Kador and Signar. Like between two lists, it's easy to split your merc options. Once you start getting into three lists, it makes it a little difficult to go. Okay,
or you
which
just
one?
Play with faction stuff, but whatever.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it starts to get like terrorists and whatever, and that's what the tier lists are. Is the best way to play fully in faction stuff to get a lot of bonuses. What's his point?
Yeah,
and I agree with that.
What does Keith know?
I know, really.
I mean, I disagree, but. Right. That's just because I disagree on principle.
Mm-hmm.
But the best point of that...
It's because it's Keesh. That's why he's disagreeing.
The best part of that Claws of the Dragon list was that everything was advanced deployed except for Butcher, the War Dog, and I think...
Your battle group?
The battle group
all advanced moves. I had the two Juggernauts. And technically Butcher got to go too. And I think all the thing was on the line was the Ulans and Stalin. And...
Wait, what is this Stalin thing you keep talking about?
The solo
character guy. I can't remember his name.
Ulan Kovnik Markov. If you look at his artwork, it's literally Joseph Stalin in armor.
On a horse.
Yes.
Wait, is that?
Oh, fantastic.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. No? He's the Ulan character.
I have him in the car. I'll show you. He looks like Joseph Stalin.
Okay. Because that was freaking me out, actually.
He's like, man, he keeps saying Stalin.
What is Stalin? What is this?
Faction to have Stalin, it would be right. Kador.
So again, advanced deployed IFP, then they 8-inch shield wall together, so I'm 14 inches up the table round one. Yeah. And in shield wall, it got to be very fun. Like, it threatened incredibly well. Played scenarios like bosses. As long as you didn't have severe armor cracking, then it just gets murdered. Yep. So, yeah, that's mostly what I'm seeing for the WTC list. Somebody did have a Karchev list in there with a power slide. I think it was the same guy from last year. They were saying the Poland team was taking the same stuff from last year, and I think he was on the Poland team.
Yeah,
with that Karchev dirty
don't
Meg.
Change what doesn't broke or what, right. what isn't broke. There we go.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I love your homespun wisdom, Colin. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Like, there's no reason to. Like,
right, no reason.
You know.
There's no reason to break honest, stuff to honest, if it's not broke.
Already. And then fix it. Yeah.
Shut up, guys.
All right. Crick's review. Have you looked at the lists?
No.
Do you care?
They're all the same.
Crick's.
I went over the lists, but I forgot what they were.
I'm actually curious, is anybody playing, like, Tom Vaughn's style?
Morton Number?
No.
It's Tom Vaughn's style.
Tom Vaughn's style.
Tom wants
You said they were submitted like 6 months ago?
Yeah,
not
so
that long ago.
Oh, okay.
A while ago.
So I'm assuming that they probably wouldn't be playing Morton Ever because of that, maybe? I don't know.
Well, Morton Ever's been out.
I know that.
They might not be playing as much Gore Shade 3.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't looked close.
Which, I think that guy's all over the place, but...
Opa Tom Gone style. Oop.
This is going to be cut while we're looking for lists. Right?
How is there not?
I'm looking for lists.
Oh, I thought that's what you were doing. Oh. I couldn't.
How is there not a GIF of Tom Guan like?
Opa Tom Guan style.
Yes. How is that not a
like
thing
doing like the horse riding
yes.
thing?
Because
it would
be
face.
Really, really stupid.
Annoying and stupid.
Yes.
Yes.
I agree with Fox. 100%.
I think everybody would be all over that.
It's not racist or anything.
Yeah, Tom Guan's totally. Never mind.
All right. Do you have anything else for the WTC?
Just speaking on like the if it ain't broke, don't fix it thing.
Yeah.
The trends from last year to this year.
No, that's not how the saying goes.
Are pretty much the same. Like, there is exactly the same amount of cricks. Slightly less Signar. Like, for the most part, everything stayed the same. The things that changed are obviously now there are convergence players,
right?
Because they exist.
Yeah.
So you added a little bit of cock,
3%. So like,
you got to have some cock,
like four right? players or something.
Cool.
Good and then the
I think I remember not seeing as much Gore Shade as I thought I was going to. But
was Gore Shade 3 out in time to put in the list?
Yes, Gore Shade 3 was the very first list I clicked on.
Okay.
Yep.
So yes, he was.
The main change is that now there's 3% of convergence, and there's
100%
more Kador players, which is actually 5 more Kador players.
Hey, right. There's 100% more,
I think.
Or
there was
minions.
Yeah, there's
minions
100%
doubled.
More minions. Whoop dee dee. Yeah, there's like one more player.
We were talking about Gore Shade 3 on the way down to Chicago, and they were talking about it from the WT standpoint, and Keith kind of made a point that people when they were building these WTC lists, people generally want to put in a list that they have a lot of practice with. So, mm-hmm. if Gorshe just came out, they're like, well, we're not quite sure if he's baller mm-hmm. or not. So let's not risk putting Gorshe 3 on the list and move forward. So I guess I would think next year, since his release was so close to the list release, that you'll probably see more Gorshe 3 mm-hmm. next year.
Yeah.
But as of right now, it just wasn't available. Or people weren't confident enough in him to put
see, that makes sense. I think it'd be interesting from a team standpoint to build a list with him. Like try to like if you're running something that could be possibly game breaking.
Sure.
Or meta like shifting, like I'm not saying that Gorshe 3 is that, but he changes the way that a lot of people play the faction.
Yeah, absolutely.
That putting that into a format like this where you know, people may not be prepared to it for it because they're not seeing a lot of Gorshade when they're making these lists could put you at a major advantage as the person building that list and playing it. Sure. So
that makes sense. I agree with that.
I'm pretty sure WTC is just a giant crapshoot.
Yes.
In terms of who you get paired up with?
In terms of, like, lists and then pairing, like...
Sure.
Why is it so far out?
There's strategy to it, though.
No, really. Why is it so far out?
For, like, a meta... Like, for, like, any sort of... You know what? Established.
No, I don't know why.
There's not any sort of like established format, really. Like,
right.
A meta has not developed because it happens once a year and only once a year. So like no one has any, like people have a vague idea of what's going to show up, but really you have no idea because all you have to do is based off last year and then two entire books have come out. Well, so.
But a lot of people's lists are built to fit some sort of archetype. Like it's, here's an armor skew, here's a high def. There's ways you can craft a list just like you do when you go to a steamroller. You don't know who you're going to get paired up against, so it's just as random as that.
You know what the steamroller format and lists to expect actually are.
Right, but you can plan for that still.
No, because you are basing it off of previous steamrollers you played in for the past year, whereas there are no WTC format events to base your knowledge off. It's just a gut feeling of like I'm just going to build these lists.
You got to make them generic enough to beat the other idea of a generic. So you're just like, well, I'm going to do well against armor cracking, or I'm going to do maybe you might even do a faction one where I think that last year they were talking about like that Chad had a list specifically against Krix, so that if a Krix player gets offered up, that Chad can just go in and roll them or something like that. Like that was that's an option, and the fact that you can choose when that goes, I think it lends a lot more strategy than you're giving it credit for.
Yeah, I'm not saying strategy. I'm saying list development.
Yeah.
And actually creating a sort of evolving meta in the WTC. Because it happens once a year, it's very static. Like,
sure.
It is not a format that can develop.
Hey, right. That's another reason that we should start running two tournaments, just like we were talking about before.
So that we go in very experienced.
Actually, I just think it would be great. But like the way that the formats, obviously the tournaments that they would run like here,
sure.
You wouldn't submit your list before, so you would be going to these tournaments blind, not knowing what you're going to be playing. So when you're building your list, it's still that kind of like thought of, okay, so this is how steamroller tournaments go. We're expecting these similar steamroller things. We're expecting your opponent to be thinking that these, what might they be bringing, you know, to counter what, and then building your list around those lines, which is going back to the list build that doesn't really exist because it doesn't happen often enough.
Yes, the point I...
If you're doing this at a big con, you could do the list, though. I mean, you could have them submit lists at the time that they buy their tickets, and then have them all be there and available. If you want it to be same as the WTC, you got to at least have that element alive, whether it's even like a month out. You know, something short-term that teams can start having plans for how they want to pick their teams to give it at least somewhat of a WTC feel. I'm just saying it's possible, and it's something that they might want to look at doing just so they can – kind of at least get an idea of how it plans out.
The only problem is you'd lose a significant number of players to our local ones. I mean, the ones that we're talking about.
Right.
This is all hypothetical.
Right.
So this will probably make my point more clear.
Okay.
There isn't like a developed WTC meta because it is a one-and-done type format, just like the two-caster 75-point
right.
thing. Like, that can't develop because that only happens like once a year. You only do it once a year.
I guess Brian Waite's meta does it like every Sunday, and that's why he wins it every year.
They play like 150
wait,
points.
Doesn't it no longer happen? Isn't it sadly off of?
That's why I was saying earlier. Like it's not on this year's.
It's such a unique and rare format.
It is.
Like,
I get it.
Yeah.
Let's just say who's the boss happens more often.
Oh, yeah, by a lot. But that's just a much more like casual fun format. And I think this could be, too. Because nobody has a problem with team tournaments. Team tournaments are just
team tournaments
awesome.
Are always really fun.
Everybody has a good time with them. Everybody like goofs around with
all
their team, and they always have great stories coming out of it. So I think I definitely am behind the idea of more team tournaments.
Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, that is a D.
Anything
isn't
else
it?
You guys want to talk about? Yeah. No, it'd be nice if we had a script.
That's right.
Are you sorry? I didn't know we were podcasting today, and I didn't wake up till 3 o'clock.
I have Dojo. I mean,
yay! Oh, Fox Dojo.
I freaking always have Dojo.
Fox has news.
He's getting married.
He's got Dojo.
I hope he rattles
Fox
off.
News.
Oh wait,
Fox
I
News
segment.
Dojo.
I hope he rattles off two minions lists.
I have a segment.
Segment.
It's like my favorite segment of all time.
It is.
Like I just came up with this one this week. It is. What does the fox say?
I have some Dojo.
That is. What does the fox say?
Okay.
It's back.
Breaking news.
All right, Dojo
Fox
time.
News.
Breaking
okay.
news. I'm on the Fox box.
It is Pete Enny.
I'm in.
I actually
I'm
played
out.
This. Shut up. Shut up. I actually
you have
this,
my attention.
I played this against Adam.
Oh, is this? Okay. I know this.
Yeah, this
did
is
you F
the,
him in the A?
No. The opposite happened.
Oh, you got F'd in the A?
I mean, sort of.
All right.
It was just weird.
Yeah. Man, stop swearing.
So the list is.
F you, buddy.
Pete Enny. Her battle group is Night Wretch, Defiler, Kraken, Defiler. So there are three Arcanodes and a Kraken.
Okay.
Defilers are the spray ones?
Yes.
And then the first one was...
A Night Wretch.
Which is the POW 13 Mandible guy?
No, that's the range 6
oh,
POW.
Oh, the blaster guy.
Yeah.
Got it. So and 1 4-point and 2 5-points.
Mm-hmm. And then a Kraken.
And a Kraken.
And then it's Nis Hunters, Warward Siren, Pistol Wraith, Skylock. I do have an alternate list, but...
It sounds so short on points, but it's because there's...
There are three Arcanodes.
Three Arcanodes and a Kraken.
And a Kraken. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Turns out that takes up some points.
I actually really like the three Arcanodes quite a bit.
Yeah, it's a lot of Crippling Grasp thrown around. And
also, Defilers on the feature and actually doing an absurd amount of work.
Yeah, they do.
They basically turn into Repenters.
Yeah. Also, I like to keep a Defiler in the pocket, like back in the pocket.
Like,
because,
in
like,
your pocket?
Yes.
Literally.
It has Ambush.
It's a pocket monster.
Yeah, because like on her feet turn,
pocket rocket.
On her feet turn, sometimes you like to run both Arcanodes out there to get both of her spells on like far units on the side.
Sure.
But yep, played this against Adam.
What was he playing?
He was playing Barnabas. It was actually kind of funny because
what do you know?
Yeah. Actually, he didn't know.
I did not pick him at all.
He thought I was playing Gorshade 3. Which I was not. Mm-hmm. So I brought like a bunch of shooting and I wasn't able to shoot him. The game was still fine for me because of Denny's feet, obviously.
Yeah.
You didn't get much off of her feet, though, in our game.
Yeah, there was a gator that I couldn't kill, like one gator in front of the Kraken that I couldn't kill. I popped Denny's feet and I was like just trying to shoot at it with like everything I had.
To free the Kraken up?
Yeah. And I was like going to free him up so the Kraken could move in and like sweep and then buy attacks, but that just didn't happen.
Yeah, if you can imagine like one gator putting his hand on like the Kraken.
Is your mic on?
Oh, so if you can imagine...
Jesus Christ, guys.
If you can imagine one gator... I hadn't talked at all. Shut up, guys.
Why'd
it's
you
fine.
Turn it off?
Because I didn't want to... I put it down on the table. I didn't want to hear the dunk, like, when I put it down on the table. All right.
It's fine. Go ahead.
So if you can imagine one gator putting his hand on the Kraken, and then the Kraken just wildly flailing his, like, little limbs trying to get to the gators behind.
Like a short guy in a, you know, fight, like the big long guy just, like, holding his head back as he's just...
Yeah, but
swinging
instead
in front
it's
of
like the opposite. Where
yeah, except
like...
he's really small and that guy's giant, and for some reason he's just swinging over his head.
Yeah.
I can't hit you.
It was pretty sweet, but no, I mean I actually ended up winning the game.
Yeah.
But that was
I thought
because
you said you lost.
I didn't say I lost.
You said you got F'd in the A.
That is how I got F'd.
No, that is what got. Okay.
Yeah,
it wasn't a great matchup for him, but actually the Kraken. Having the Kraken in that list
made it
way better of a matchup.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Been.
Oh, yeah, because of all the command checks and stuff.
Well
I guess
no, it crits,
but...
Because
I mean,
gators can't kill a Kraken.
Yeah.
Well,
I watched him not kill.
I have to commit my caster to kill the Kraken. Pretty much.
Yeah, that's you. You ended up committing your caster, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's
and
ended
then
up
killed you after committing him.
No.
This is where it's interesting because when he came in, I was like, "Oh, I'm way down and everything."
Thanks for the swearing.
Down a freak. Sorry.
It's fine.
That's not a swear word. Okay. Anyways. So I was like, oh crap.
Yeah.
Wait
to fix it. I'll edit in.
Yeah. Cause he jammed me with gators. So I sort of felt like I had to kill his caster, but after going for the kill, I killed quite a bit of gators and I was like, oh crap, maybe I could have killed some more gators. And
so they just played the attrition games.
Yeah. Minus ended up just shooting, Barnabas and they got him down to how much did they get him down? Two?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was with a ton of shots.
Nice.
So the next turn, my Nis broke and I think my Denny and some pistol rates just killed Barnabas.
Yeah.
That's what ended up happening.
And we were talking about it while we were playing that, that turn, I continued to play the attrition play.
Right.
And on that turn, I should have just walked, made a swamp, walked backwards into the swamp.
Yes.
And then just been like, all right, gators do the attrition. Barnabas is just going to sit back.
Yeah.
And that, keeps Barnabas alive.
Yeah, so, I saw that 2 Fury on you. I think it was 2 Fury.
Yeah.
And I was just like, man, if he just makes a swamp, I just don't have an assassination.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I was not intentionally net decking him at all. All I've had with me is Barney and Friends, so I've played a lot of Barney and Friends lately.
Sure.
And
it was kind of funny because I came to the table I already had a list in mind.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to change it.
Right, right.
So I just came to the table with Pete Enny and a Kraken, and I was just Adam's probably going to play what's her face, Jaga Jaga.
Yeah.
And I'll be fine. But
instead
no, it was fine.
You don't shoot my army list.
Yeah. If my Kraken actually ended up getting in there and sweeping, it would have been really good for me.
Oh, yeah.
Because that would have been on my feet turn, and a bunch of gators would have died.
Yeah.
It would have been pretty good,
yeah,
but
if you would have killed that one, it would have been eat the world.
Yeah.
And it was me being really, really greedy too, because when he, I was like, God, I really should put 2 gators up there to engage it. Cause I know he'll be able to kill one.
Yeah.
But,
you jerk.
But if I put another one up there, he won't be able to. And I'm like, nah, I'm just going to be greedy. Let's just see if he could not kill this one. He'll have to feed.
Yeah. Right after I failed killing that gator, I was like, oh man, I could have actually put 2 there. I was like, oh, you son of a... But
made it doubly difficult to remove that.
But yeah, all things considered, I actually like this list. There's an actual alternate list that I have.
Sure. Let's
hear it is -1 Night Wretch and -2 Pistol Rates, and I put Boomhellers in.
I like the other way, I think.
The first way or the second way?
The first way.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. Pistol Rates on her... her feet is effectively, my Pistol Rates don't die this turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when Pistol Rates get to, kill 2 guys and get 2 souls,
mm-hmm.
and then
not
don't die.
Yeah, it's
what
good.
Else did you get rid of?
Good.
I'm sorry, you got rid of.
I got rid of 2 Pistol Rates and then the Night Wretch.
And the Night Wretch, yeah. Okay.
And that's 9 points.
I think that it would have been better for me.
Or that's 10, but yeah.
Obviously, it would have been better for me if you would have had the Boomhellers. But that list is obviously built to play against Pete Denny, so that doesn't apply to that mm-hmm. list. But
I love it. When pistol rates are not on the table.
Yeah.
I would more than happily see Boomhellers.
Yeah. Play more Jaga Jaga.
I actually think one slight change to the original list that would probably make it better is to change out the Night Wretch for a Death Ripper.
Yeah.
For the melee?
Yeah, because that thing will actually just, kill heavy.
Yeah.
With the Negra.
Mm-hmm.
They're just,
Yeah.
If the feat is there, it's obviously -5 armor.
Yeah,
right?
I actually...
POW 13 goes to POW 18.
That's actually one of the things that I considered recently just in list building in general is that, sometimes my Arcanos just get engaged, and, a Death Ripper is probably going to be better than a Night Wretch in most cases.
It is based POW 13, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It rips some death. You had 2 Warwick Sirens in it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so you can obviously power boost. So.
Yes.
Yeah, between...
Also, my Warwick Sirens do a lot of work with
the list. Actually has a fair amount.
Turns out everything does.
Infantry clearing.
Yeah.
Because 2 Warwick Sirens and 2
Defilers.
Rates.
Oh, yeah, Defilers.
On her feature and will kill a lot of infantry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then there's from the Nis and the Pistol Race 4 good shots.
Mm-hmm.
Very
yeah.
valuable.
Yeah,
shots.
Unfortunately, not enough to bring down a 1 Gator. under her featuring.
Yeah, and that was actually really funny, too, because that one gator didn't die. It allowed for...
2 points. It was ridiculous.
It's not that it didn't take enough to get killed. It just barely took anything.
It took almost nothing, and then it was engaging Nis Hunters, so it got to force them to make another command check.
Yeah, my Nis broke twice that game.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so much fun, isn't
Everything
it?
Everything I take breaks.
Take Lord Rockbottom.
I have no respect for you, Adam. As a War Machine player.
Abusing the command rule that you hate so much?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of the things that I thought was funny is Adam made the comment, like, man, if there were, like, two zones, I could have actually, like, it would have actually been okay. But then I was, like, later that day, I was just like, well, I had a pistol raid in the list, so.
Yeah, there's just a pistol raid, just
Like, yes, when we were playing, my Nis could stay as far back as they wanted to and just shoot you forever. But I, even if there are two scenarios, I just run a pistol raid over there.
And then Barnabas is, like, walking towards the other journey, just, like, walk, go,
yeah.
Walk.
Flesh eater,
and then you're just like, feet, you're dead.
Yeah,
it's so bad.
That's cool. That's good.
Yeah,
that's good. Don't you? I do like the. I think I like the first list better than. Mm-hmm. I mean, Boomhellers are great. Don't get me wrong. And definitely good under Pete Denny.
Also, actually, adding the Boomhellers in sort of goes against why I built this list the way it is.
Sure,
I built it low model count, and putting Boomhellers in obviously increases the. Yeah.
Although they're a relatively easy unit to activate.
Yeah.
For the most part.
I mean,
if you're a ton of rules going.
Yeah. On, just a lot of range attacks. There.
Yeah.
I like the list a lot.
Yeah. I hated this scenario. Like, I'd like to play it a couple more times. Not even with Barney, just period. Mm-hmm. Like, the scenario, what the hell is it called? Balance of power. I hate that scenario in most cases because I feel like it's a non-scenario. Like, the scenario is rarely live in that scenario.
The scenario
What's the
is
scenario?
Really live in that scenario.
I'm not sure how they do scenarios, how they, like, actually create scenarios.
Stop it!
But now I cannot hear it.
I don't know what the scenario is right now in this conversation.
The scenario is people are saying scenario far too much.
I feel like it's okay to have, like, one or two scenarios that aren't
actual,
like,
scenarios.
Good scenarios.
Yeah, like number 3, I think it is, where it's just, I dominate my flag minus 1 year point. It's like... Why is that not just not any pieces? It might just be like, just you have to be in the middle 2x2 square of the board to play this game.
Yeah.
That's
called
well,
hardcore.
It's a really interesting scenario.
No, it's not. It's the blandest, most boringest, most stupidest scenario.
I hope that scenario just falls off.
Yeah. Like, every time I show that's one of the turn, or that's one of the
tournament scenarios that are at the tournament.
Round, I'm just like, why? This isn't...
why?
Why is this
why?
You don't like that?
I'd scenario? Like to know how many people have won on that scenario.
I have. I think that's a lie.
I feel like if you're winning on the scenario, you're probably winning the game.
I feel like it's probably turn 12.
Yes. Yes. You're probably either tabling your opponent or it's turn 12.
Yeah.
And you're tabling your opponent.
It's turn 12. And you're also tabling your opponent. Yeah. I have never gotten above, like, 1 point.
Epic Haley, bro.
Ooh, there is something that's
like
really
you're
fun.
Probably tabling your opponent.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
There is something that's really fun about that scenario, though, that people forget about, is, like, your opponent score. Like, your opponent's flag, you can score on your opponent's flag, and sometimes they abandon that flag because they're, like, moving forward. So sometimes if you have, like, a rogue, like, solo, you can,
so
like...
if you're, like, tabling your opponent because they're bad and they're not...
Yep.
They're not, like, huh,
turn
do
12.
I want to just keep the minus one to your points forever thing an option?
Nah.
Screw that.
Nah.
Don't need.
Yeah, sometimes you got to commit your caster. Because you have to dominate that for that to happen, right?
What?
You have to dominate that flag to make it.
Yeah, but it's
one?
On your side.
It's
of the
on
table.
Your side of the table.
Yeah, 18 inches up from the table.
And sometimes you have to commit your caster.
No, not in all circle. Right.
15 inches up.
Oh, you're just doing your own faction. You're saying anybody that does it is dumb when other factions have to commit casters.
Yeah,
do other factions have to commit casters, Mr. Buff Faction Forever?
Yes.
Yeah, Vlad's just chilling there.
Butcher 3,
like,
shut up.
Vlad's just chilling there.
Not a real caster.
Finds a point. Minus a point.
Mm-hmm. Signs of points, win wall, minus a point. Signs of points, win wall, minus a point.
Yeah. God, so I assume Fox is the only one that had Dojo.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, okay. As a side note, if Boom Howlers do go in, Rock Bottom also goes in.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think they should go in now, just to stop that breaking crap from happening.
For those, for that one unit of Nissan. That one unit just make a 12-point unit of Nissan.
Yep.
Worth it.
Actually, we talked about that.
Yeah, we talked about that, too, because if my Kraken was able to kill that gator, my Niss would not have taken that.
Well, exactly, the other thing is, right? He has a 10-inch spray?
How
big is his spray?
Six.
6-inch?
Yeah.
Six so inch just flavor. Get him up there.
Yeah, just get him in the mix. He has
continuous
tough.
Fire. Continuous
he has
fire.
Too.
And fire.
Anyways.
Continuous fire.
Anyways.
All right. Well.
Scenario.
I'm going to turn my mic off and start talking.
I think we should all do that.
Mike, all right, ready? One,
well,
two.
Two of us have already been doing that today. Idiots.
I can't deny it.
So. No, you can't.
So I actually have a real topic to talk about.
Woo! Okay.
It's a new player topic. It should be pretty fairly quickly. It's a new player topic. At one of our locals, at one of our stores, he's a fairly new player, and he is doing, when he's playing games, if things start to look grim, He likes to go ahead and just basically submit and say, I'm going to scoop on this game.
Yeah.
Right.
This is good.
Never submit. Never give up.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we've talked about this before.
Yeah, we have.
I think we've touched on this subject before. But
that's fine.
I don't think we have.
I think we've talked a little bit, but not really.
The important main cast. I think the main cast. That's fine.
Episodes.
Let's do it.
About the importance of not scooping. Yes. I don't remember.
When you've done 187 total episodes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're going to eventually hit something of this. Yeah, I'm not saying it's not.
So we're at 127? Episode 127?
Yes. No. Yeah, Adam.
Did you know what number we were on?
28.
28. You said 28.
I said 28.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know all numbers.
Yes. He is God.
He is God. But anyway, so this is... Basically, I was playing Epic Kruger, which is like, it was like my second game with Epic Kruger.
Guys, legit.
And he was playing Convergence of Cirrus, and he was playing Cyntherion. And basically, it was outflank, and I had scored two quick control points on turn two.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my feet, and so he had, with a speed 4 Jax, it was hard for him to get into the
speed
scenario.
2, basically, at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, so they're speed 2, and then they can run 4 inches.
Right.
Like it was,
and then you just turn them around.
Yeah, and then once they do get into me, like, I take my two stalkers, my stalkers go kill a heavy.
Sure.
And then I just turn around the other heavies that I can't deal with that turn.
Okay, so you tabled them.
Well, so there was, no, he quit on bottom of turn 3 because... Right. He saw all of those things that I could do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like before they happened.
Before they happened. He's a very smart player. Like he's very smart and he has the ability to see how the game's going to end up a lot better than a lot of new players do.
Cool. Yeah. That's good for him.
Yeah.
So
it's a good skill to have.
Yeah, no, it's a really good skill, but because he now knows all the things I can do.
Right.
He doesn't know how he can get out of it and how in the future he can work through it.
Chad and I were actually just talking about this today. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, because I just played Barney and Friends versus P. Gristle in two orders and champions,
also,
and it was a lot of fun.
We played that day. We were playing that. And that is a classic, that is a perfect example of why you shouldn't scoop, because I definitely felt like scooping after my Kraken, I couldn't kill that one gator.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like, and Chad made the point, and he referenced someone else, I can't remember who it was, but talking about how, like, when you it's good to play unconventional games, and it's good to play casual games, it's good to play games that are bad matchups, because they put you into scenarios where you can see you know, the hardships, I don't know, that
sure.
you have to
the difficulties,
overcome.
The
and you have to say,
uphill
okay,
battle you have to give.
I can no longer win this game by conventional methods. Mm-hmm. I have to start addressing unconventional yeah. methods. And then by doing those, you start to see your regular games when you're playing matchups that you would normally choose in different lights and seeing things that may come and playing just better as a general overall player.
Sure.
And it makes you aware to things that your opponent, when you put your opponent into one of those like scenarios that, okay, how could they kill me or how could they win this game unconventionally? Like, and how can I prevent them from doing that?
Yeah. And like one thing I just want to make sure we can stress is that like there really is no 100% loss scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
You're almost never truly mm-hmm. out of a game. There's always the option of going for dice and getting your opponent's caster. Like, you just shouldn't give up, I guess. That's what I'm trying to say.
The game is really designed around not giving up. I mean, even when it comes to tournament play, though, because, like, when you scoop in a tournament, when you forfeit in a tournament, I mean, you get max everything, and that person's like...
Think of it this way. So the reason you probably dug yourself in that hole, maybe because of matchups, or more likely, if you're a newer player, because of a mistake you've made.
Mm-hmm.
And when you make a big mistake in any kind of high-skill game and your opponent capitalizes on it, you're always in a bad position for like then on out. However, the longer you continue to play the game, and if you continue to play correctly to the best of your ability, mm-hmm. the more time your opponent has spent playing the game, the more time they have to make mistakes.
Yes.
So that you yeah. can catch yep. back up.
So that's actually his argument, is he recognizes the mistake that he made, and he understands that there's a mistake that he made, and he doesn't want to play a game, time-wise, where he's waiting for his opponent to make a mistake.
And he shouldn't be playing this game.
That he would rather spend that time starting over again to prevent himself from making the mistake.
Well, if you can figure out when that's happening during the game itself, you can always just reset the game state to a point to where that mistake didn't happen, and then you can play from there.
Yeah, like earlier, Lance and yeah. I were playing a game, and like there's a 12-inch zone, and I knew his guy could threat 13 inches, and he was like an inch, or he was like 2 inches out of the zone, and I put my guy like 2 inches into the zone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was a very easily thing to, like, see. And then I just, like, put it there. And so, it was just like, yeah. oh, I lost the game. Like,
so I started
imagine
my turn
my guys
of,
are back an inch.
Yeah, so I started my turn of, oh, this Spriggan under East Orchard Feet turn is going to be able to get the Pure Blood and the Stalker. I was like, let's back up. And go ahead and start your turn over again. And we started from scratch. Because
yeah.
the only thing I technically moved was Sorsha.
Right.
And we were able to reset the game from that point onward. So, yeah, if you do something like that, or you get it back... If he's at that point, he's just thinking like, well, okay, in game you can think about, I mean, always after the game, think about where you made your mistakes. But in game, if you can sit there going, wow, okay, what did I do that made that happen that I could try to fix the next time you play it? Or if you can just say, well, how far were you able to threat? Was I just an inch or two in that you were able to berserk on my entire front line of guys or something like that?
Yeah.
But you can always just say, okay, move your beast back. Let's push these back a little bit. I mean, of course, on your opponent's consent. If they don't want to, then we can just continue playing the game the way it is.
Yeah.
But you should be able to say, like, do you mind if I just back these guys up so you just couldn't auto-murder, you know, these really key units?
Sometimes I feel like,
yeah,
especially for new players, it's definitely really hard to see where their mistakes started.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially yeah. in this game.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you have to rewind, like, a lot. Like, yeah. maybe even in deployment.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like,
not necessarily just a new player thing, but, like, even... Like, I think it's part of building the community to have the good players, or like the more veteran players, take the time to be like, crushed you, like,
yeah,
like good job, like mm-hmm. good game. Like the other day when we were playing, and I was playing Chromac and you were playing Gorshade 3.
He's saying you're mm-hmm. new player and terrible. Go.
No, like the other day,
that's what I heard.
Gorshade 3. Fox hasn't played against Chromac very much because I have not been playing him for like
right.
a year.
And you're the only realist.
Like
circle.
2 years. Well,
I played him once before against you, and that was quite a while
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, it was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, well,
because it was
yeah.
at least I haven't been playing him this year very mm-hmm. much at all. And then I took a break from Circle for about a year, so it's been like 2 years.
Yeah.
And he put Gorshade in a position, and he had a bunch of models between me and him. And I was just, like, started my turn, and then I was just like, I'm pretty sure I have, like, a like an 80% or higher assassination on you. But I'm not going to go it to it because I want to play this Chromac list to see how it actually would play in War Machine. And then I went to go start my turn, and then he was just like, actually, will you just show me how the assassination goes? And, like, it was
It was really pretty good.
Like, it was really easy. It was basically putting two Wild Aggression Primal Stalkers on Gorshade. But there was, like, an army of models between me and him.
Yeah.
It was...
And you were able to just get there?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm I can be really tricksy when I'm inside you.
Yeah,
it gets inside him pretty
so,
deep.
Well, so
then, and you could also feed me two beasts to a Spriggan.
So then all he had to do was just, I was just like, so just move him back like 2 inches, and I can't do it anymore.
I mean, that does go to show that it's happened. I mean, I don't mean to jump back a little bit, but when we even look at like competitive play with double stones teleport, like things like that, just not seeing, you know, oh, I'm safe. You know, and not seeing this. Okay, this is not. Nope. It's not a crazy assassination, and you're not sacrificing much to go for it. You know, you're sacrificing a heavy, or you're sacrificing
that's a lot.
Yeah,
it is a lot.
Yeah. That is a good portion of that 50-point army.
And your heavies to in circle are probably more valuable than against in that faction, particularly compared to like. Others, because my units can't kill armor.
Maybe I just don't think of it because my heavies aren't worth. So
yeah, right.
Thanks
like so,
mine
I'm like
mine are precious like diamonds.
Yeah, I'm like
mine are
well,
precious
diamonds. I just lost this thing.
They're precious like diamonds, but they crumble like crackers.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, your heavies are pretty much porcelain dolls. Yeah, like if you get one,
yeah,
like,
that's a better.
Yeah, that's that's actually pretty true because like I can pretty easily kill.
But yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Back to the original thing.
Nick, you should just swap out your heavies for porcelain dolls now.
Like, I should just make stalkers out of porcelain, and when someone like kills one, I just smash it with my hand. Yeah, but...
Oh, my God.
Don't scoop on games.
Okay, never mind. I was just thinking about that Vlad 1 list against your Ekai list. I would just murder that face.
Yeah.
So bad. Anyway. I mean, and it, for the exact same reason, if anything, just get the experience playing your characters. I mean, play the models you have on the table in bad matchups and see what they're capable of doing. Mm-hmm. Like, I was playing one, I think I was playing Sorcerer last week against, Sorcerer 2 against Circle, and I was just like, well, I got Manhunters in these lists. I want to know what Manhunter under Sorcerer's Feet does, and what they do is almost one round of Stalker, and just like one swing.
It's important
it was
to note.
Good. It was really good. I mean, it's Power 11 Weapon Master. Dice over. Double dice over. It had done a couple other damage things, but it was amazing. It was like, wow, Manhunters by themselves under her feet turn are good enough.
Yeah, porcelain dolls, Lance.
Porcelain dolls.
Yeah.
Get up on them. I mean, but you're seeing what the rest of the models that you brought.
Get up on them. I don't know what that means.
Get a doll up you.
Get a dog up you.
No, get a doll up you.
A doll?
Yes.
Yeah. A porcelain doll. A porcelain doll.
That would up hurt. In
you. Ow. And then it breaks?
What a dog.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I mean, a dog can squeeze.
I mean, I almost got Wishnailer.
This is gross.
Wishnailer charging a guy under Sorcerer's Feet turn almost did something.
Would you say Wishnailed it?
Almost Wishnailed it.
What?
No, it didn't happen. It was against Getorix, and he was fine.
Well, didn't happen. Actually, here's another thing that for newer players and players that are struggling with this, give yourself, like, once you see that, oh, man, this game is, like, really had a turn for the worse, give yourself little short-term goals where you're like, you know what, forget this. I understand I may not be able to kill this, like, win this game, but I'm going to take that heavy off with it, you know, off the table. Or I'm going to take as much as I can. Or it'd be nice to, you know.
I'm going down, but you're coming with
like,
me.
Like, make yourself little short-term goals without conceding the game, either by saying, hey, this game's over, you've got it, or giving them your caster.
Well,
and, like, by doing those short-term goals, you might actually start chipping away
your
recovery.
For tournament play, scooping games is really bad against a bad matchup.
It also just straight up gets you out of the tournament.
I kind of want to.
You have.
I kind of want to try.
No, you're just like out.
Yeah.
Doing something for the next like few months in terms of playing lists at the shop, because it's usually just like, I want to play this list, and my opponent wants to play this list, and then it's just like, well,
Do you want to play specifically bad matchups to see how it goes?
Mm-hmm. That's pretty much...
Because, like, I tested that matchup today because I was just like, I think this is a good matchup. Let's see if it actually is. And then I was like, okay, yes.
Yes.
Between the game I've had with you and against a different Kador player, I'm like, oh, this list is actually pretty good against that style of Kador.
Yeah.
Sweet. So now it's just like, well, what is it bad against? And then trying to come up with that list and then playing it from there.
Sure. You should come to Ames and tell people the casters you're going to play, and then they will all attempt to deck you, which is actually a good thing. I think
the casters really isn't enough information if people can play casters for different reasons or different ways.
Yeah, but they need to be like a list someone would legitimately play. Like,
well, yeah, it can't just be skew. It's, like,
it's
be
always
a real
got
thing.
Pendrake in it every single time.
Epic Kaya. I mean, to be fair, like a lot of my lists that I want to take against Hordes just has Pendrakes. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm playing Signar, anyway. But, like, I don't know.
Not against me.
God, I wish I could play Pendrake. God.
Like, I wouldn't take Pendrake against you, because I'm pretty sure I would.
I played Pendrake for the first time against Chad yesterday. That guy's sweet.
Pendrake,
really good.
Pendrake is the most fun.
Yeah.
Most fun with Thumper Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
By far.
Mm-hmm.
That is the best Pendrake.
Just momentum.
You mean Epic Kane Pendrake?
That's also pretty good.
Nah, that's pretty good, too.
I mean, when you're at 11, do you really need, like, 3 dice to hit?
Does it hurt?
Yes.
Nick.
Yeah, you go from not snakes to not snakes. It's just you're rolling 3 dice instead of 2.
Actually, I think maybe the best Pendrake is Epic Grim. His Pendrake's pretty sweet.
Yeah, because of the snare.
Yeah.
Or not the snare gun, the whatever the gun is that knocks things down.
Yeah.
A knockdown gun.
Is Bola.
Yeah, it's not a Bola.
No, it's not a Bola.
No, Grim.
Oh, unit. Grimms. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Pendrake.
Yeah, whatever the pig's knockdown gun is called. I forget. No, whatever.
You carry it. I don't understand.
It's not like a net gun?
A net gun would reel them in, I feel like.
I mean, you can knock them down and then you reel them in.
Whatever. All right.
Yeah. All right. I feel like this is coming to a close.
Yep.
I think we're wrapping up slowly.
So.
Pre-ramble time? Post-ramble?
No. All right. Well, remember to visit the Muse store. We have a bunch of new stuff going up.
Cool things.
Buy it now.
Tile game coming
soon. Yeah, we got a tile. That's out. That's actually out.
It's out?
Yeah. It's called Squirrel or Die, and it is by...
God, that's a terrible name.
It's a fun game.
It was okay.
Did you play it?
Yeah. After everyone left, me, Nigel, and Colin played it.
Like, ah, nuts.
Because Nuts is an actual game that exists.
Ah, Nuts. Ah,
it's close
Nuts.
Enough.
Maybe
or
if you...
My Nuts.
Yes, Nick. If you create a game...
Ow, my Nuts.
If you make a game, you can call it that.
Oh, my balls.
Yep.
Dissozac number 49.
So that game's up. We have... we also have corpse tokens that are double-sided with soul tokens that
the
are full-color.
Base damage counters,
right? We have the large base damage counters that are 50 millimeters.
For objectives.
Yep.
25, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, like, obviously, we have all the wound markers and all the knockdown. Oh, wait, no, we don't have knockdown tokens up yet. Forget that.
For anybody that plays Magic the Gathering, those are pretty good token things for life counters as well.
Yep.
For Magic the Gathering.
The spinny
dials.
No, they're awful.
25. I need to get you one.
After playing Magic for 10 or so years, you've learned if it's not pen and paper, it's god awful.
Hey,
yeah, pretty
hey,
much.
Because then you go to like have a dispute about life totals, and you just have a spin dial there. It's like there's no evidence to show what has happened.
That's a true statement.
So Nick is a great salesman.
Yeah, I am
clearly
salesman.
Missed.
I'm
going to
talk
the
up
point
that
here.
Squirrel or Die game or whatever it's called.
Squirrel or Die.
God,
squirrel
you're
die,
such
mother.
A terrible... You don't even know what you're selling.
Squirrel or die, mother...
No, oh,
like
my
voter
God.
Die? Squirrel all right, or die?
But Nick's new product he's releasing on the Muse store is paper and pen.
Who's got any paper and pen paper combo? And pen.
Yep. So, yeah, make sure to visit Muse store. What is it? MuseOnStore.com.
We're not going to talk about the squirrel or die game? Like, describe what it's like.
Nick, you played it once.
Yeah, and
we will segment it up next week.
No, it is essentially, to give them a little taste, taste.
How would you describe it in one sentence?
It is the game Memory that you played as a child, except for instead of a single-player game, it is a four-player game, and players can die.
And it's not, it's like Memory.
Yeah.
It's a good explanation, but it's like, don't just think it's memory.
Well, there are, like, so in
no,
because
you can't die in memory.
In
it's
this
just
game,
like, oh, I didn't get it.
Next I'm pretty one. Sure people die from Alzheimer's.
There okay.
Girls with squirrels, not girls.
squirrels
there are tiles with squirrels effing.
Girls.
Like, no, that's like a...
They're kissing.
It's like a... A furries,
sure.
A furries thing, you know, like instead of bros before hoes, it's squirrels before girls.
Wow.
Why don't you explain that to our younger listeners, Nick? Please.
What is a fury? Furry?
God, you're a teacher. Oh,
gosh.
This
Think
is all just
that.
Terrible.
These like this
squirrels
guy,
before girls.
This is all so bad.
This guy is teaching your children.
Not your children. I mean, they're not children when they're above the age of 18.
Really?
I'm pretty sure you're
legally.
So you carry the laws around in your pocket?
Yeah, dude. Just like Transformers.
I heard about that this weekend. Holy crap.
Yeah, that literally
Why
happened.
Is that a thing in a movie that people to, thought was funny?
I had to ask John if it was an actual thing, because yeah. I just read a, like,
review about
a
it?
Synopsis of...
That's
all
what
the
I did
terrible
too.
Things that possibly could have gone wrong in Transformers: Revenge of the or
Revenge
what,
Age of Extinction.
Fallen,
yes, it's
Dinobots.
Transformers transforming people's morals. The movie.
Yeah.
All right, I'm Colin.
Wait. No. Where are they going to follow us?
Follow us on
Facebook.
Follow us. No, it's like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Muse on Minis.
That's Fox.
That's Adam.
That's Colin.
No, he passed it off. Damn it, Lance. All right.
I wanted to hop in before somebody else took something else.
That's Lance.
And that's Colin.
And Fox.
Bye.
Now we are pre-rambling.
Are we?
Colin, you still playing Madden?
What?
Any Madden updates for us?
Nope. Yeah, how you been playing Madden?
Nope, no Madden.
You bailed on it.
Where's that?
You like forget Madden.
I created a pie chart for this stuff and posted it on our boards. What was the name of that thread?
A pie chart?
The WT, where are the WTC lists by Colin?
Yeah.
And then the,
was it that thread?
It was right below
yep,
it.
It was that thread.
Yep, that's fine.
I make the best threads.
I mean, you start
you make threads.
You don't
Wait, who started our thread this week?
So Remule and Black did that at the exact same time, and then they ended up deleting one of them and then moving Black's
post
over.
So can our coverage of WTC be, there's a little more cock and everything else is the same?
There's sure, why not?
There's like 27% more minions.
And about the same amount of Kator, actually. Kator went from like 30% to 50%.
No, there's 50% less minions than last year. Like, we should just cue the statistic. There are 50% less minions at the WTC this year. That faction has completely fallen off the map.
Clearly that is the play.
Well, I think in this pre-ramble we should talk about a couple of things. One, Magic the Gathering dual decks are amazing. And Super Dungeon Explorer is awesome. Which do you want to start with?
I'm not a fan of Super Dungeon Explorer.
Well, you're a fool.
Yeah, but how many times did you play it?
What?
Three?
Three times?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm looking at this backwards. Minions increased by 100%.
Yeah, minions increased.
100%
increase.
Than last.
So how many people played last year?
One.
So now there are two.
Now there are two. Sweet.
No, I'm just joking.
That is an incredibly increase.
Yeah. No, there's more than
like,
that.
Kator,
like,
didn't change. It's like
might be four people
like
playing
5%, whatever.
Stop swearing. What?
I actually think there might be four people playing.
Oh, okay. So that's a...
So. Circle's like the same. Trolls is like the same.
Increase.
Scorn is literally the same. Red is less. Protectorate's the same.
Kator increased.
Is Minions
said, right?
Four players?
What? Krix is the same. Both are 16%.
But Kator's up, right?
Yeah, like five.
Is Minions four players? I'm pretty sure it's four.
I don't freaking know.
I think there's four lists.
Whatever. Unimportant.